The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Tuesday, November 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a 35-year-old passenger aboard a moving SEPTA bus was hit by a stray bullet in the Frankfurt section of Philadelphia on Tuesday morning. Police say the Route 56 SEPTA bus was traveling north on Torresdale Avenue near Church Street at 3 a.m. when the bullet fired from the outside pierced the side of the bus. There were seven passengers and the driver on the bus at the time. They reported hearing at least one gunshot. One passenger who had been sitting towards the middle of the bus was shot in the arm. The driver pulled over four blocks later near Orthodox Street. The passenger was taken to the hospital in stable condition. Police searched for ballistic evidence around Torresdale and Church, but did not find any. The search for who fired the shot continues.
This was at 3 in the morning?
3 a.m.
So this person is just probably trying to go home or get to work, and all of a sudden they're, you know, relaxing on the bus at that point, and they get shot.
Shot, yep.
Wow.
All across the Delaware Valley, families are gearing up for Thanksgiving dinner, but as more people hit the road in the last 2 years, there's been a huge spike in illnesses. So doctors say COVID-19 is not the only concern this year. They're seeing a rise in cases of RSV and flu, according to the Action News data.
Action News, man.
Yeah, I'm watching Action Nude.
Man.
Yeah, that's not kind of news.
No, the 6 ABC.
Well, I'm not wearing any pants right now.
I'm Jim Gardner, and these are my testicles. Now the news.
No. The Action News data journalism team.
Okay.
Weekly flu cases nationwide skyrocketed much earlier this season, doubling last year's peak, but it was not as high as pre-pandemic levels.
This speaks to
Dude,
the...
Dude, I've got both of them. I have COVID right now. I have flu.
Last weekend, and it is it's gnarly, and it's totally, that's it. I've gotten everything you've talked about.
Well, what's left to get? What are the three?
So RSV.
If you can knock out RSV by the time you get back, Preston, you'll have the troika. You know,
right. Let's see if I can get syphilis and gonorrhea by the end of the month.
Well, I might have some of that lingering around. Yeah. All right. Awesome.
Steve, I was talking to
By the way, I'm sorry to jump in, guys. My audio fixed itself. So
that was me, Preston. I'm figuring this all out on the fly as well. I had your Zoom and your little apparatus there at the same time.
You're going to talk about syphilis, Nick?
No, I was going to. Yeah, I don't have syphilis. But I did want to talk about Dr. Mike because I was chatting with him at Camp Out for Hunger. And Dr. Mike was saying that he's getting patients with COVID, with the flu, and with also with sinus infections.
Yes.
And different levels and different varieties of all three of those. And they all affect the patients differently. So these poor people are coming in and Dr. Mike has to figure out, which one is it? And then how do you treat them?
That's why I'm trying not to bother him because just to check in because he's being inundated.
So the COVID that I've picked up has like next to nothing on me, but the flu kicked the ever loving crap out of me.
It's crazy.
Rochelle's getting kicked pretty hard. She's got COVID as well, and it's manifested in really deep guttural coughing and chest congestion. I just have a little post nasal drip. So yeah, the severity can be different for different people depending on what you're getting to. And
doctors are recommending Preston stuffing with raisins as a good measure, as a preventative.
Yeah. Cool. I'll call my mom.
It's got raisins in it. You like raisins.
There's something medicinal about that concoction.
Doctors say that it's not too late to get your flu or COVID vaccines. However, keep in mind that the vaccines are not effective the week that you get them.
And you got your flu shot, right, Preston?
I did.
Yeah.
Apparently it was the wrong one. But yeah.
By the way, flu shot. Quick question here. Maybe Dr. Mike can answer this at some point. I know they take a bet on which one they believe is going to be the predominant. Is it possible to get the shots for the second and third place as well? Because you always end up getting the runner-up flu.
Let's see if he's maybe available today. This is worth talking about going into the
holiday weekend. He's available.
Right. He's not doing a lot over there.
No, it doesn't matter. What I mean by that is it doesn't matter how busy he is.
He'll
make himself available.
All right, Steve, you're going to be happy about this next story. According to the meteorologists at Fox 29, this year they predict below average snowfalls.
Yeah! Except if your business relies on it, then my
then you're sad.
Hopes and prayers.
They say the Delaware Valley can expect an overall mild winter with seasonable temperatures and manageable snowfalls. Kathy Orr says that there's only a 30% chance that the Delaware Valley will see a snow-covered ground on Christmas morning. While forecasters say this winter will be below average in terms of snowfall, there are still some days when flurries will be anticipated and maybe even squeeze out a snowman or two.
See, I know this is going to happen because they've been pricing replacement snowblowers, because my snowblower, every time right. That's the best thing to do. Make a purchase based on something and it will never manifest.
Susario predicts there will be 12 days with snow on the ground. January 1st is expected to be the coldest day of the month, with daytime highs in the mid to upper 30s and nighttime lows in the teens. Drew Anderson says that there will be 7 anticipated snow events, with 4 of them being nuisance storms, dusting the region with about 2 inches of snow. 3 plowable snows are predicted for the region, bringing 3 or more inches of snow. Out of all 7 snowstorms, only one of them will bring more than 6 inches, he says. Kathy Orr says 19 inches of snow will hit our area this season, which is below the 23-inch average. Last winter, we only saw 12.9 inches of snow. So according to Fox,
so we're getting more.
A little bit more than last year, but still below average.
Better than Buffalo.
Yeah, 6 feet, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then people's roofs are caving in. And, I mean, they're going to be taking dump trucks to get rid of that snow for weeks.
And mind you, Buffalo's used to this.
Yeah.
And they're getting cream.
Right.
So according to Fox 29, the winter ahead for the Delaware Valley looks manageable. Mm. In sports this morning.
My touchscreen's not working.
So of course. Add that to the list.
The Flyers lost again, falling to the Calgary Flames 5-2 last night in South Philly. Blake Coleman had a goal and 2 assists to lead the Flames to the win. Tanner Lyszynski and Joel Farabee scored for the Flyers, who have lost 7 in a row. The Flyers are on the road tomorrow night with a game in Washington against the Capitals. The puck will drop at 7:30. At the World Cup in Qatar, the U.S. men's team began their tournament yesterday with a 1-1 draw against Wales. Timothy Way scored a goal in the 36 minutes to give the U.S. the lead at halftime, but Gareth Bale struck from the penalty shot late in the second half to earn Wales a point. Next up for the Americans is a match against England, which will be on Friday at 2 p.m. The Sixers are at home tonight against Ben Simmons and the Brooklyn Nets. When asked about playing his former team in Philadelphia, Simmons said, "I know what's coming. That's part of the game." He went on to say that Philly is a sports town and he respects the diehard fans. Yeah. Tip-off will be at 7:30. And in Monday Night Football, the San Francisco 49ers beat the Cardinals at a game in Mexico City. Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 4 touchdown passes, and the 49ers won their 3rd straight game by beating the Cardinals 38-10. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hey, we have somebody on the phone, Press. You can't see the phone screener, so I didn't want to just hit the Dr. Feelgood button without talking to you about it first.
Oh, do we want to talk to him now?
Yeah, let's give a quick check if you don't mind.
All right.
Okay, let's
all right,
do
well,
that.
Then I got to hit this button.
Can't do it without his theme music.
I know. It's sacrilege. There you go.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, checking in now from Penn Medicine and Fox 29, the man with the golden finger, Dr. Mike Sirigliano.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Mike.
I feel like I'm talking. Are you on the? Are you near the moon? Are you traveling on the space?
Does it sound like I'm that far away?
No, you sound great. Absolutely great. So you unfortunately now have COVID. You're being treated with Paxlovid. We treated you with Tamiflu last week for the flu.
I thought I was COVID immune. I thought I was going to get out of this whole thing without ever experiencing. I mean, not that I feel bad or anything like that, but I thought for some reason I had the super genes, but apparently that's not.
You have some pretty hot little genes on you. I've seen that.
Yeah,
thank you. Skinny jeans.
I mean, the fact that you didn't have severe illness is a win.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, and that's due to the vaccines. And the bottom line is that none of my patients, and I'm seeing about 5 or 6 cases a day, none of them are ending up in the hospital. Most of them have a bad cold. But I'm seeing a tremendous uptick in, you mentioned flu. I'm also seeing rhinovirus, which is this just a common cold. I have had a couple of cases of RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. Where I'm at, we do this panel, and I think I've shoved a swab up just about all of your noses
yes.
at one time or another, and we test for about 20 different pathogens in just – It's a wild time right now.
A quick question, Dr. Mike. So the question posed earlier was by me, as a matter of fact. So you have the main, you take the guess on what the flu is going to be, and that's what the flu shot is. Is it conceivable? Because Preston always seems to get the runner up flu. If one could be given a shot for that as well, or does that even exist?
Well, the problem with the immunizations for flu as we use them now is that we try to base the formula, if you will, on the strains that we're seeing in the southern hemisphere. So if you think about it, Australia, for instance, is just getting over their winter, and they had a very, very, very bad flu season. And so we tailor our flu shots to cover the strains that were most common there. And you'll look on the label. These are quadrivalent. I mean, these are flu shots that cover a number of strains, but they're not 100%.
Right.
Now, one of the exciting things is, I think, with RNA vaccine technology, I think we're going to have an improved flu shot down the road.
All
but
right.
That being said, it is what it is, and because everyone was away or isolated, now everyone's back, and we're seeing a tremendous earlier than normal uptick in flu and RSV and everything else.
All right. So,
Mike, both of my parents right now have COVID, which sucks. But they're we saw them yesterday. They're on the uptick. I wore a mask when I was over there, and they're finally starting to feel better. But I just wanted to speak to the fact that, like, they canceled Thanksgiving plans. You know what? My nephew's immunocompromised, and so they were going to go down to Virginia and spend Thanksgiving weekend with my family down there. But sadly, unfortunately, had to cancel. However, Thanksgiving's just a day. We'll do it at another time, and we'll have the family come up to visit. But if you are feeling sick or you're not feeling, you have a chance you might have COVID, it's best to stay home and not travel.
Nick, listen, this is the time where if you don't feel well, don't do it. Don't think you're obligated because it's a holiday. You don't want to infect grandma or cause her to be ill. I mean, people are still dying from COVID, not in the numbers that we had in the past, but it's
gum-gum to you, Dr. Mike. Gum-gum, not grandma.
Yeah.
Oh, gum-gum.
Thank you.
Is that what you... Okay, gum-gum.
That's my mom,
got it.
Yeah.
I got it. I go by dum-dum.
Yeah, dum-dum. That's grandpa. Sage advice, obviously. And let's face facts. You probably didn't want to visit anyway, so this gives you a good out.
You just don't want to... You don't want to make anyone...
No,
think,
right. No. And even the people you do, you really don't. So, you know, right. That's all part of the deal.
Yeah.
Yes,
no, that's cool. All right, so just be aware that there's a lot more of this going around. But as far as super shooting someone up with the flu vaccine, so we're getting there, but we're not quite there yet.
Oh, it's going to get better.
All right.
It just is going to take some more time
like
and research,
fine wine.
And we're getting there.
All right.
We're getting there.
Well, we love you.
Yeah. Right. Love
Thank
you.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. Love you. See you later,
sure.
Dr. Mike. Zerigliato. He's the man.
That's his set off. Sorry about that.
All right.
Say one more thing.
It's hard.
Yeah. But the one thing is, you know, with it, when I did, when the flu was kicking my ass, with the, you know, since COVID came along a couple of years ago, at least, I think the mask thing has now become a little bit, like, for flu. Put that thing on, man, you know, and don't go spreading it around. So I felt better about being around my family and not necessarily getting them sick because I just slapped the I got my mask right here, slapped the mask on and good to go. And just at least another layer of protection. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, this stuff's going around. So heads up. And, you know, this weekend, obviously with a lot of travel or this week, I should say, before the weekend hits and family getting together. If you're feeling a little funky, don't spread it around because the flu thing sucked, man. It was horrible.
They kicked your ass twice. Twice the flu has been far worse.
Yeah.
I think you'd actually be a cakewalk if you got gonorrhea.
You would think so.
Right.
Am I vaccinated for that? I have no idea.
Put your mask on. Just put it over your nuts. Yeah.
I could do that. All right. Well, anyhow, we welcome you to a Tuesday morning President's Steve Show. Yes, if you're just tuning in, I am at home, tested positive for COVID. First time that's happened. So taking precautions and broadcasting from my basement. We do have some things going on the program today. We are going to check in with our buddy Connor Barwin. He's a part of the they're doing a tribute to The Last Waltz. Coming up at Franklin Music Hall, that's on the 26th, and Connor is in conjunction with that. And, in fact, it's an all-Philly band lineup, so Low Cut Connie and Don McCloskey and more are going to be a part of that, so it should be pretty cool.
It's supposed to be amazing.
Talk to Connor later on this morning, and we're also going to talk to the star of A Christmas Story and also A Christmas Story Christmas on HBO Max, Peter Billingsley.
Yeah!
Ralphie will be joining us this morning. Around 9 o'clock, which is really cool. We've talked to him before, and it's just awesome that they have continued that story on. So
I saw the movie press, and they bring back everyone they can, everyone who's gettable is in the movie, and it's really cool.
I love it.
Yeah,
love it. So we'll chat with him a little bit later on this morning. But we have some other things to get to. In the meantime, don't forget we have the Christmas Miracle coming up. We'll do some invites for that as well. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll do the stupid question and the entertainment report when we return. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, stupid question this morning. Going to give away Black Adam on digital. If you can answer this correctly, what is the only chemical element whose name is only three letters long? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer to that, you need to call right now. What is the only chemical element whose name is only three letters long? Let's see if you know the answer to that. We'll go through some birthdays while we await your answer. Today is the 22nd day of November. Scarlett Johansson turns a year older at 38 years old today. And doing just fine in her world.
Wonder what the status of the next movie for her in the Marvel universe is. Because
it's pretty limited, right?
Well, she's still alive, so she's able to go. You know, at least in that first movie, her own solo movie.
I'm looking at the IMDb, Steve, and it doesn't look like anything in the Marvel world. Yeah, but you never know.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis shares a birthday with Scarlett Johansson. Jamie Lee is 64. She just had the wrap up to the whole Halloween franchise.
Yeah, it was okay. They should. There's actually been a fan writing campaign to get them to do a do over on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
64 years old today. Terry Gilliam, one of the members of Monty Python's Flying Circus, but also a great director in his right as well. He celebrates his 82nd birthday today.
And I think he's the only American of the troupe, yes?
Yes, I believe so. Mariel Hemingway, Ernest Hemingway's granddaughter and actress, 61 today. Friend of the radio program, Miss Billie Jean King has her birthday today. She is always a great guest. And whenever she stops by, I can't believe, what a legend she is in the world. And we're kind of friends with her.
She likes coming on the show. Go figure.
Yep, 79 years old today. The great little Stephen Van Zandt turns 72 years old. Silvio Dante, of course, of The Sopranos and right-hand man to Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band. So he is turning a year older at 72.
Wow.
Tina Weymouth, bassist for Talking Heads.
Very talented.
Tom Club. Yeah, I think it was last year I watched finally from beginning to end. I had seen snippets here and there. Of what's the doc?
Stop making sense?
No,
Stop
YouTube.
Making sense. Yeah.
Oh, that one.
No. Stop Making Sense.
Okay.
And she in particular, a brilliant bass player.
Yeah.
I mean, so much better than I realized. obviously I know the recorded music, but watching her pull off these really cool bass lines live, something else. And that's Casey. That Stop Making Sense is kind of like that utopia in America thing, in a sense that it's not just a concert, it's a bit of a stage show as well, and the music's just fantastic.
Yeah, I watched that actually last week. I was like, man, I haven't seen this in a while, and I never actually watched it all the way through, so I turned it on. So there's nobody in that stage show that is in the Talking Heads, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they split up a long time ago, and they don't, you know, Dennis Franz and Tina Weymouth, and they've kind of went their separate ways.
All right.
So she's 72. Boris Becker, the tennis star, was he the one that we recently found out was in prison, or was that somebody else?
It's the second time he's been in prison, like tax evasion, I think more than once.
Yeah, and both times tax evasion.
He's back in, yeah.
It's like you didn't learn the first time?
Yeah. He is 55 today. Guyon S. Bluford Jr.
Yes, of course.
The first African American astronaut.
Turns
80 years old today. So
wow.
A historic gentleman turning a milestone birthday today, 80 years old. So happy birthday to him. Speaking of the MCU, and I should have married these two together because they were couples in the MCU. They were a couple, I should say. Mark Ruffalo. Celebrates the exact same date of birth as Scarlett Johansson, and he is 55 years old today. So I wonder if they, celebrated on set.
Maybe they did, right? Yeah. We probably had one of those big chocolate chip cookie cakes.
Do you think he was a better Bruce Banner than...
I think...
Ed Norton?
Yeah. I think Ed Norton did a fine job. I think... when I think of the Hulk, now I think of Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. All right, and then two birthdays from the world of Stranger Things, celebrating on this exact same date. And I'm going to mess up the first guy's name, but it's, is it Dacre Montgomery? His name is spelled D-A-C-R-E, or Decree. I'm not really sure how you pronounce his name. But he played Billy on Stranger Things. What a piece of crap character, man.
Horrible.
I mean, he has a little bit of redemption, a little bit, but he was a douchebag, and that guy played him wonderfully. He's 28 years old today. And then Jamie Campbell Bauer, who eventually we find out his character Vecna, celebrates his 34th birthday today. So
when's that new season coming out?
Don't know.
It takes a long time.
Yeah, and I was talking to Caroline day before yesterday, and we're thinking about watching the last season again.
Again? How many times have you watched it?
This one only twice, this final season twice, but we've watched the entire arc.
Yeah.
Five times through, I think, other than this final season, so we love it.
It's funny.
It's our thing.
Because I can watch movies over and over again, but I'm pretty much, when I watch a series, I pretty much just watch it that one time. I rarely go back and watch it over. Yeah.
I take the movie model. Like, how many times have I seen, Forrest Gump and The Godfather? And, so I'll dive in and watch it. And it's even more entertainment. There's more to digest.
Yeah,
so,
there's really no difference. But for some reason, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Hey, Preston, one more birthday. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to hit this because it's Richard Kind's birthday today. I guess it wasn't on your list, which is obviously fine, but he turned 66, and he's turned in also to a bit of a friend of the show, and Pensbury, what is it, the Hall of Fame or whatever?
Yeah, Pensbury's Hall of Fame.
Soon to be occupied by Kathy Romano.
That's right.
We have our way.
And who do we have? John O'Hurley the other day doing a spot-on impression of him. It was fantastic. So,
and then one more birthday. My nephew, Owen. It's his 21st birthday today. It's a big day for anybody. So I think he's going to have his first alcoholic beverage today. He just turned 21.
Rite of passage.
Now he's legal. Yeah.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. We're trying to find out what's the only chemical element whose name is only three letters long. I'm at home. I can't answer the phones there. Casey, can you go to a caller for me, please?
Yep, we've got Derek on line one.
All right, Derek. Morning, brother. All right, so what's the only chemical element whose name is only three letters long, please?
That'll be Rin-Tin-Tin.
Tin, sir. Yeah! That is correct.
Yeah!
Hang on. We're going to give you Black Adam on digital nearly 5,000 years after being bestowed with powers of gods and then immediately imprisoned. Black Adam is now free to unleash his unique justice on the world, and you can own that now on digital. I got a bunch of stories to run by you, so let's start with an incarceration. Todd and Julie Chrisley of Chrisley Knows Best received sentences in their tax evasion case on Monday, a week after their son Grayson was injured in a car crash. The pair will serve cumulative 19 years in prison.
Whoa.
So Todd has been sentenced to 12 years and 16 months in 12 years and then 16 months probation. And Julie was sentenced to 7 years and 16 months probation.
To be honest, I think that sentence is appropriate just for the amount of times I had to watch that Chrisley Knows Best commercial on the USA Network. It's a horrible show. I always suspected that they were up to something because they have, at least in the reality show, the few times I've seen it, this vast wealth. And I'm like, yeah, where the hell's that coming from? Well, now we know.
Yeah,
I'm incarcerated, so... Lloyd.
So prosecutors wrote in a memorandum last week the jury's unanimous verdict.
I'm incarcerated, Lloyd.
Sets the record straight. Todd and Julie Chrisley are career swindlers.
They are.
Who've made a living by jumping from one fraud scheme to another, lying to banks, stiffing vendors, and evading taxes at every corner.
So he supposedly made his money off of real estate, but that's clearly not the case.
So this comes after their son Grayson was hospitalized following a car accident last weekend. Tennessee police said that Grayson drove into the back of a Dodge pickup truck and was that was stopped in standstill traffic. No arrest or charges have been made in that particular case.
So she's
parents.
She's going to go to the prison where that Ghislaine Maxwell is. The
really?
Yeah, the Epstein associate.
Okay.
So it's a lower, it's obviously it's not, you know, Alcatraz.
Yeah, like a white-collar prison.
Right.
Meet the Parents actress Blythe Danner has revealed to People that she is undergoing a private battle with the same cancer that killed her husband, Bruce Paltrow. Danner, who is Gwyneth Paltrow and Jake Paltrow's mother, was diagnosed with adenoid cystic carcinoma in 2018. She's now in remission.
Good.
She said everyone is touched by cancer in some way, but it's unusual for a couple to have the same cancer. After learning of her diagnosis, she said, I remember, looked up at heaven and said to Bruce, are you lonely up there? The I'll See You in My Dreams actress added, it's a sneaky disease, but I'm fine and dandy now, and I'm lucky to be alive. So being in remission, good place for her.
I love her.
I like her, too. She's a lot of fun. JoJo Siwa is getting more and more comfortable speaking out. And on Sunday, the former All That cast member spoke with People about Candace Cameron Bure's traditional marriage comments being rude and hurtful. She said, as I'm getting older, I'm starting to realize what an impact I really do get to have. She said, adding that she is learning that I have a chance to use my voice, use my platform for something good and to change the world for the better. The J-Team actress added that she and Bure have not talked and that she doesn't think that they will ever again. Have they ever talked in the first place? I thought this was kind of an online thing going on.
That's what it seemed to me. I didn't think they caucused a lot.
I don't know, but she said they have not talked and she doesn't think that they will ever again. So,
or ever?
I don't know.
She said again. That sort of indicates that they have talked in the past.
Yeah, that's why I was curious. Yeah.
So maybe they both talked at the same time, but never to each other.
That could be it.
Considering talk. Okay. Kendall Jenner and Devin Booker have called it quits.
No!
No!
Yeah, I know you guys would be upset about that. Several sources confirmed.
Can't she find love?
That she and the Phoenix Suns guard ended their relationship last month due to demanding jobs. The source said both have incredibly busy schedules right now with their careers, and they decided to make that a priority.
That kills me. Did they just find out that they had demanding schedules? You know, that this... So. Oh, wow. It seems hard to get together.
I was thinking about the Jenners and the Kardashians and the number of NBA stars that they've gone through. And
oh, my God.
Ben Simmons is in town tonight. He used to date Kendall.
Right.
James Harden is on the Sixers. He was with Chloe for a stretch, like Devin Booker. Like, there's all this cross-pollination.
There is. I wonder if, like, you, which family or starlet you could kind of go through and field the best basketball team of all time.
Like an NBA All-Star team.
I think Kendall's got to be, up there.
If Kendall's got...
Well, yeah, she's had the most, I think, legit NBA talent.
I don't know. James Harden.
James Harden is
an MVP.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I guess they look at the NBA roster and call it the catalog.
It's got to be. And they're all so faithful, too. It's worked out so well.
An insider also revealed that the decision to end their romantic relationship was mutual and just came down to timing. And though Jenner and Booker do plan to stay in touch.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that nice? So there's hope, folks. Hey, this is cool. Amy Schneider claimed victory in the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions on Monday, winning the $250,000 grand prize. That's right.
It was great watching that. It could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping because I was enjoying it so much that it went another day.
Me
but
too.
It was still very cool, and she did a great job.
Three really worthy contestants.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Any one of them.
Back and forth.
But she is just a powerhouse, dude. It's amazing. She defeated opponents Andrew He and Sam Buttery for the third time in the finals. It required a contestant to win three games to clinch a title. And Schneider and He were tied 2-2 with two wins each going into the sixth and possible seventh game series on Monday. Buttery had extended the series on Friday by securing his first and only win. The Tournament of Champions, which began October 31st, featured 21 contestants who won at least four games since the 2020 tournament, as well as winners of the National College Championship, the Professors Tournament, and the game show's first second chance face-off.
So now we return to another champion with a number of wins under his belt. You forget about that because they took the pause.
Right.
I think he's got, 12 or 13 under his belt?
Yeah, he's a really good champion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's back tonight.
The final round's clue in the category plays was the January 12th, 1864 Washington Evening Star reported on a performance of this dashing comedy to a full and delighted house. Butterly incorrectly guessed Our Mutual Friend and lost everything. He gave the correct answer of Our American Cousin, increasing his total to 17,001, but Schneider also correctly answered with the clue. And clinched the top spot after waging $13,000.
The big tragedy with that play is, Preston, that President Lincoln never saw the end of it. So he never knew how it ended.
Schneider is the first transgender person to win the tournament, by the way. Gary Oldman is preparing for retirement. The Oscar-winning actor, 64 years old, shared that he intends to wind down his illustrious career when he completes his run in the acclaimed spy drama Slow Horses.
And I've been watching. I watched the first season.
Horses are so slow.
It's good.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's when you read the description of it, it kind of poses itself as a comedy.
Right.
And there are comedic moments, but it's not a comedy. I very much think it's a drama, and it's essentially...
Is it a spy drama?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is the head of a house in MI6.
Right. Horse division.
Where they send all the quote-unquote idiots.
I gotcha.
You know, the guys who have had, utter, F-ups in, a regular, either a training exercise or whatever, and for some reason or another... They're putting this in the Slow Horses house. And then, through that first season, you find out why certain people are brought there. And as it turns out, all right, maybe there's one guy who's kind of an idiot. But for the most part, it's more bureaucracy.
Complex?
No, it's bureaucracy.
Okay.
I might
want to check it out. He's always good.
He said, I've had an enviable career, but careers wane, and I do have other things that interest me outside of acting. He said, when you're young, you think you're going to get around to doing all of them, read that book, but then the years go by. He said he shared that while he has signed him for two additional seasons, by the way, Casey, of the Apple TV Plus series, he doesn't intend to work well into his years like some actors. He said, I'm 65 next year, 70's around the corner. I don't want to be active when I'm 80. I'd be very happy and honored and privileged to go out as Jackson Lamb and then hang it up. And that's his character, the slovenly alcohol-abusing intelligence officer leading a ragtag team of sideline MI5 agents.
He's become a big... Go ahead.
He himself is in recovery for alcoholism and says that it was, and I didn't know this, one of his famous co-stars who actually pushed him to seek treatment for his drinking. And it was Demi Moore, with whom he starred with in 1995's The Scarlet Letter. And she told him to go to rehab to address his drinking, which has led to many lost weekends in hotel rooms. And she told him, you're very ill. You have to go away. And so now he's 25 years sober, and he thanks her for pointing him in that direction.
I know he's a big proponent of Gorilla Glue, Preston, and wants to get involved with promoting that for the second chapter of his career. So,
why not?
He's a big fan of epoxies and adhesives.
No way.
It's a good product. And if you're going to back something up, you're going to put your name on something.
It took a while, but he found it.
Got to make sure it works.
This is befitting my reputation.
Miley Cyrus is coming back to NBC to ring in 2023 New Year, and this time she's bringing her godmother, Dolly Parton, along for the event.
So we were just talking, Nick, you were talking about how the Pete Davidson, Miley Cyrus...
I watched it last year.
Right, was actually very good.
I was impressed by it. I thought it was paced really well. Right. And, I'm kind of so-so on Pete Davidson, but he was good, and she was great, man. She, some really good performances, and if Dolly Parton's a part of this, I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good pairing to put together. Dolly is 76, Cyrus is 29. A lineup to be announced Musical guests will be coming. The show is produced by Lorne Michaels of SNL fame. And Cyrus said, Miley's New Year's Eve party is about to get glamorous and dressing your best. In a press release, Gene Neal, executive vice president of Entertainment Live, said the inaugural Miley Cyrus New Year's Eve party was an unqualified success. Know that this year's show will be just as spectacular with plenty of surprises and lots of fun, and we can't wait to get the party started.
I hate that notion of getting... I've done my fair share of getting dressed up for New Year's parties and going to do the big thing, and it's... While it can be fun, after a while, it's more hassle than it's worth.
Miami sounds more fun than New York, though.
Yeah. Oh, God. Times Square? I'd rather eat a bullet.
And they were out on the beach for the performance last year, too. And there was, I don't know if you guys remember, but Miley Cyrus had a wardrobe malfunction.
Yes.
And whether or not that was purposeful or not, who cares? But, yeah, and like, it's out on the beach in a cool atmosphere.
So, Miley will also take part in NBC's Dolly Parton's Mountain Magic Christmas, which is coming out on December 1st. And the festive show will also feature Jimmy Fallon, Willie Nelson, Billy Ray Cyrus, Jimmy Allen, Zach Williams, Tom Everett Scott, Anna Gasteyer, and Angel Parker as well.
So, if Universal and or Disney don't want us to broadcast from those locations, do you think...
Dollywood!
Yes.
Totally.
Dude. Why not?
Oh, my God.
That's what we need to do. We need to give up on these other dreams we have and pick something like that.
We have to realize, like water finds its own level, we don't rate a Universal. We don't rate a Disney. But I'll give you... Dollywood is considered a very competitive theme park.
Yeah.
And maybe they're looking for the kind of audience that we could bring. Possibly.
That's not a bad idea.
Dollywood.
That is not a bad idea. All right. A couple more quick things. Following rumors about Indiana Jones 5 featuring a digitally de-aged Harrison Ford.
I don't like that.
After the actor was spotted wearing motion capture dots on his face during the production
of
the movie.
These dots.
We now have confirmation of just what exactly that will entail. As any fan of Indy knows, that the movies need to have an explosive opening sequence. And for Indy 5, I think they're just going to do it for the open. Not that.
No. No. Toilet. I'm very old.
For Indy 5, the solution was simple, though. A set piece was drawn up that pits Indy in a castle in 1944 surrounded by Nazis. With this film, the first not to be directed by Steven Spielberg and produced by George Lucas, incoming director James Mangold has a lot to live up to, including that opening sequence. And the Logan director has come up with a novel idea, take Indy back to his prime. Apparently, the producer, Kathleen Kennedy, said they found the footage. This was a thing they shot 40 years ago. We're dropping you into an adventure, something Indy is looking for. And instantly you have that feeling, I'm in an Indiana Jones movie. So I think they're taking pre-existing footage and they're going to put him in for the opening sequence, Steve.
So, okay.
Digitally put his face
in. The Crystal Skull took place in the 50s, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, all right. So
early 50s.
Right, right. All right. We'll see.
So they're probably just doing a flashback at the beginning, you know?
Well, he's a good director. I love Logan, and we'll see if I hope this, since this is going to be the final chapter of the Indiana Jones storyline for Harrison Ford, I hope he goes out in style.
By the way, for
Harrison Ford, it's not just him going to the early bird special.
Yeah.
The feeling of seeing his younger self on screen was uncanny, but the actor admits that he was utterly convinced by what he saw. He said, this is the first time that I've seen it where I believe it. He said, it's a little spooky. I don't think I ever want to know how it works, but it works. Not that he's pining to return to the time of the original indie movies. He said, doesn't make me want to be young, though. I'm glad to have earned my age. So it's going to be opening on June 30th.
Did you ever see
next year's?
The Irishman, where they de-aged Pacino and they de-aged De Niro, and they use this technology fairly liberally, and it kind of works, but it's disorienting. There are scenes where you find yourself like looking at their faces, and it throws you off. And I remember one of the interviews we're talking to Scorsese, and he was saying he had to remind De Niro to walk like a 35-year-old as opposed. You know, in his cadence was not the same, energy. So all those things figure into it.
All right. I think we're ready for the clips. And I think I left them on my printer upstairs.
Do you want to go up?
Have them. Well, you guys want me to run upstairs?
Can you get
quick?
Us a Pop-Tart while you're up there?
Yeah.
See how long it takes them?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want to do the setup instead?
I don't have the setup either, so...
Why don't you call up to Rochelle and see if she can read them to you?
All right. I'll run upstairs. You guys want me to hang out?
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
His pajama bottoms. So we're in Preston's basement, which has a really nice...
there he goes.
There he goes.
I have the timer going. See how long it takes.
Yeah, see how long it takes.
Like he's a three-year-old. Go upstairs and get mom.
Go get them now. You cannot do it unless you have your preparation.
I actually can't believe how that still works sometimes. Like, Jace is 11, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna time you.
Really?
Go, oh, yeah. God, go upstairs and get my...
He got it!
23 seconds it took you, Preston. 23 seconds, man. Preston, it took you 23 seconds.
That's not bad.
That's a new world record, I believe.
It is. It is. Actually, yes. It's an inaugural world record.
By the way, you can now watch Preston's pajama pants on our YouTube channel.
Oh. Did you see my pajama pants?
Yeah.
You're so lucky you're in pajama pants.
I know. It's awesome. It's awesome. All right, Clips, here we go. Welcome to Chippendales. The story of an Indian immigrant who becomes the unlikely founder of a mail review that becomes a cultural phenomenon. In this clip... we have Kamal Nanjiani explains that he's not playing a Chippendales dancer despite being ripped. Hit it.
They're also disappointed, which is surprising to me. I'm like, you don't want to see me do that. But people do assume that I'm going to be on stage dancing without my shirt, and I'm so grateful that I am not. And I swear you should all be grateful for that.
Your balls are showing.
Welcome to Chippendales is available on Hulu today if you would like to see that. Here's the next clip. While attending Nevermore Academy, Wednesday Adams attempts to master her emerging psychic ability in the new series Wednesday. And here star Jenna Ortega talks about meeting Christina Ricci ahead of playing Wednesday Adams. Here we go.
I think she's somebody that I've always had a lot of admiration for from a very young age. I've always kind of looked up to her in a sense almost. So I think that I was just kind of interested in getting to know her, not necessarily for, to talk about Wednesday or anything like that.
I don't give a f***.
Wednesday is out tomorrow on Netflix if you would like to see that.
It's out on Wednesday.
It is?
Yeah.
That's perfect. I think
they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That's what I have in the entertainment report for you this morning. So if you're just tuning in, I'm at home. Test positive for COVID. Feel fine. It's all good. Rochelle feels worse than I do, but she's on the mend. And so we're dealing with that. But other than that, business as usual. We got a couple of guests on the program. We will have Connor Barwin checking in. There's an event coming up he wants to make us aware of. And we're going to have Ralphie, Peter Billingsley, on the show this morning. A Christmas Story Christmas is out now. You can watch that. It's on HBO, right?
HBO Max, yes.
Or HBO Max, sorry. Yeah. So we'll talk to him around 9 o'clock or so, and we'll see what else is going on in the world. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a second, so stay with us, my friend.
I was trying to tell you, it's Tattoos Day. Text word tattoo to 39333. I was trying to tell you that. Sorry, Preston.
Oh, okay.
I thought he was just showing you his
nipples. You can just tell me.
Yeah.
All right. Text that now. We'll get a winner by the end of the program. Now can we take a break?
Yeah.
All right, we'll grab that. Steve.
Greetings, good citizens. With Thanksgiving upon us, the thing I most look forward to is the traditions. Be it family, friends, food, and perhaps a beverage or two. And another tradition I really enjoy is connecting with MMR listeners during my annual Welcome Home broadcast. It's happening on Thanksgiving Day. So this Thursday, starting at 10 a.m. Pierre Standard Time, join me live on the air or the MMR app wherever you are, and I'll be taking requests, dedications, and holiday wishes for the MMR family coming together on Thanksgiving Day. And yes, I will serve up the traditional Alice's Restaurant at 10 a.m., noon, and a Pierre vinyl cut version at 2 p.m. So let's stuff our ears with great music and cheer before you stuff your face. And happy Thanksgiving from 93.3 WMMR.
A variety of things to pass along to you this morning. So I believe the stream of consciousness now is what I have become.
Exciting.
Or were you going to go to the general store, Casey? I don't know.
No, you know what? I completely lost track of where your stream of consciousness nerd music is.
We have to have an official theme.
No, we do. We do.
Because all these segments are so different.
There you go. These are things that just rattle off the top of my head.
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah, so I saw this interesting story. Casey, are you familiar with a guy who plays for the Vegas Raiders, a linebacker named Blake Martinez?
Yes, I do. I'm not super familiar with him, but I follow the NFL, so I am familiar with that name.
All right. I do not follow the NFL, so I'm not familiar with this guy, but I did read a story about something about him that I found interesting because he retired midseason. Okay, he's 28 years old, could have more of a career left. But apparently it wasn't because of a career-ending injury or anything like that. He wasn't released. He decided to hang it up because he's making enough money selling Pokemon cards.
Pokemon cards have eclipsed his NFL career?
Come on.
Yep. And he recently sold a very rare card for nearly $700,000.
Jesus.
Yeah. So,
it's still a thing.
Apparently, yeah. Jace has a pretty rare card. He was never...
Is it a Dwight Gooden?
He was never into Pokemon. He never really got into it. One summer, it was like a couple summers ago, the kids used to take their cards to the pool, and they would put them in these binders. And so he was like, I have a couple of packs. Can you get me a binder? We put it together. We bought a little more. He did absolutely nothing with them. But... Now, and I don't know how true this is, but somebody has told him that the one card he has is very rare and that he should hold on to it.
Is there a dollar amount associated with this?
I don't know, because I don't know anything about it. He just keeps telling me, we have it, it's sitting in the binder. And
it's my retirement fund.
I have to look more into it, I guess. Maybe I'll...
There was a stretch where Ben was into it, Kathy, and it was probably like 2 or 3 years. And Steve, there would be occasions where like he would sit down and try to explain it to me.
Right.
Good Lord. I had like Pokemon, like you can super upgrade certain Pokemon to become other Pokemon.
It's very complex. And my eyes roll
names
white.
And they had names like Charizard and then Super Charizard and whatever the hell else. And I had no idea what he was talking about. However, Kathy, there were cards that he valued more than others. And part of the reason why he valued them more was that he told me that they were rare. I don't know if they're worth anything, but that's, you know, that was from the mouth of a 7-year-old.
No, and I believe, what was the story, Press? I think you reported on it. It was a guy who converted, he converted his crypto to Pokemon cards or something like that.
Seriously?
So, like massive investments. I mean, where they'll have like complicated break-ins to steal these cards from collectors. Yeah. You know, that's how valuable they are.
Yeah, and those things, they won't decrease in value, right? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, maybe if Pokemon has some sort of sex scandal, it'll decrease the value. Hey, I just found out that Logan Paul wears a Pokemon card around his neck that's worth $2 million.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's what douchebags do. So, there you go. Weird. So $2 million?
Yeah, I guess he's got it maybe golden crusted or something along those lines.
Do you know what they say? They say it's worth whatever someone will pay for it.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, that's beyond me. How things like that end up advancing in worth. Baseball cards and things like that, I can understand. You know, it's a limited amount of them available. A legend at a certain time in their career, things like that. It's a time stamp.
Right.
But for playing a game, this is only valuable because the creators made it so that it has a certain amount of power, you know, within the game. I don't know. I have no idea.
There's certainly control. I don't know. All I know is that there are people who almost live in this world, so it's part, that's their reality. I mean, they play this all the time.
Let me ask you then. So the creators, not only of the characters, but of the cards, don't they sort of have it's like insider trading almost. Like they can create, all right, we're only going to make 5 of these cards. I'm going to keep one.
They can do that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, that doesn't come out of the box worth $2 million, does it? You know what I mean? They don't make this card, create this character, and go, okay, we're putting this for sale.
But they can make sure that $2 million. Somebody is making sure that card is rare.
They can massage it along. So they can say, okay, this will be a limited edition. You know, of course, it's not. To me, it doesn't seem as wise an investment as Batman figures.
But
that's where you put your money. But even in that case, the things that I have, a lot of them are limited. You know, so I think what they'll do on these Pokemon cards is they'll obviously issue a limited run, and that jacks the price up.
I have an update on the Logan Paul card. Apparently, he bought a bunch of fakes. They were not worth anything.
No.
It was G.I. Joe junk, and it was he lost nearly $4 million on it, $3.5 million on cars that did not have that value.
Very savvy investing.
Yes.
Yeah. Harsh. Wow. Well, that's this guy's retiring, man.
I had the Mona Lisa in my living room, Preston, the Mona Lisa, and I think I got taken for a ride. So
yeah, well, this guy is retired, and he's going to sell Pokemon cards. Yes, Case?
No, I was going to say, I saw that. Like, he's kind of like a mid-level linebacker. I think his salary, and it's nothing to sneeze at here, but for, you know, professional athletes, he makes $1 million a year. It's also a really, really physically demanding position, linebacker.
Sure. So is Pokemon.
Yeah, no, but it's if he's like, you know what, I can take my... I'm not making that much money, comparatively speaking, and I can, you know, make almost my whole salary selling cards. Okay.
Without getting beat up. And potential, yeah.
Well, also, their team sucks. So, he's like, you know, there's no chance they're going to make the, you know, the Super Bowl or the playoffs this year. So
that is
still, I mean, yeah. But still, even if you're minimum level in the NFL, you're a player. We see that. I mean, that's the Holy Grail. You're in the NFL. You're a player. You've the American dream. You got it.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to go sell Pokemon cards.
Could you see yourself living in a world where you, like, what would you collect or invest in? Or, I mean, we're looking at the wall behind you. You have some collectibles that are obviously near and dear to you. Would you?
Yeah, it's all sentimental stuff.
Right. Could you see yourself getting involved in the, you know, is there anything that holds that much fascination with you?
Like being an art, you know, collector, right.
or
rock something like
memorabilia.
That. Yeah, no. I think it's a bit too much work, and I'm covetous of people who have these unbelievable, like that one. I forgot which sports team the guy owns, but he bought like Ringo's drum kit.
Oh,
yeah.
That
is amazing to me. That's, you know, owning your own museum of sorts would be pretty amazing. Yeah. So. But no, it doesn't. As far as like investing and making a living out of it, no.
Yeah, and at a certain point, you know, like you enjoy having them, but what do you do at a certain point? You know, it just sits there.
Yeah,
you want to be able to share it.
All right,
like my Knight Rider collection.
Yeah.
Other things from my stream of consciousness, nerd. Let's talk about divorced men being appealing to single women.
According to a
study, yes. And apparently, there's some science backing up why women are attracted to divorced men. The reasons, number one, divorced men have demonstrated they can commit.
Okay.
Okay.
They can commit.
But just not for that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, just not that long. Divorced men are experienced communicators.
All right.
Or that's the reason they're divorced.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, are these divorced single women so hard up? What's going on here, man?
Well, I think what it's demonstrating, at least at a period, they could do that, and so I think that's the enticement. I think they have. I think it goes to that they have exhibited, and Nick, you represent this here, the willingness to have at one point made the full commitment.
Yeah, I'm going to commit to you for about 10 years, and then we'll figure out what happens.
And then we'll renegotiate.
And I'll talk
to my agent.
I'll communicate well for a little while, and then
I'll withdraw.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
These are the perceptions that they say that women might have for divorced men. Divorced men deal better with conflict.
Yes.
Unless they were very conflictive in nature, and that's why they got divorced.
Well, look at OJ.
Divorced men are more likely to be in shape, but not too in shape.
Mm-hmm. So they're attracted to other women. They're more likely to collect Pokemon cards.
Divorced men are probably more mature, according to this study. That's what it says.
Right. Unless they work in radio.
Divorced men are more likely to have children already, proof of their fertility.
Okay. All right.
Which all humans are drawn to, apparently.
I got swimmers.
And number seven, divorced men don't believe in the one. They've learned that they have to work on themselves, so they stop looking for Ms. Right and start looking for women who make them happy and with whom they share common interests.
Listen, this is just an whoever wrote this is trying to is trying to put divorced men in a better light than what we, you know, what they traditionally are seen as. Like, it didn't work out. It failed, you know?
Yeah, who's behind this study?
A divorced
men's
guy.
Divorced Men University.
Right. But
I don't know.
I think there's some credibility to some of these aspects.
I will say that after I got divorced, there was a stretch of time where I was an eligible single dude, and the fact that I was divorced, I don't know if it hurt me or helped me or whatever, but, like, I felt pretty comfortable with myself for a stretch, and that took a little while post-divorce. And then, it's like a kind of a conversation starter sometimes. You, like, you have something to talk about. It's like, yeah, my relationship didn't work out, and here's why. So at least you had things to talk about with people.
Do you think it's as much as what you exude as what you're putting out there?
Yeah, yeah.
As, you know, that
took about a year.
Okay,
yeah.
You end up crying on some people's shoulders.
By the way, the getting in shape portion of a Preston can go either way. You can either be so depressed you don't eat at all, so you lose weight, or you get so depressed that you eat way too much and you gain weight. So I did the former and lost a decent amount of weight after I got divorced. But yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen both ways.
Yeah. So, but apparently, I was not aware of this. There are a sector of women who are attracted to divorced men, and that this study shows those are the reasons.
Does it work the other way? Any indication that men are attracted to divorced women?
It's a good question.
Mm.
I haven't seen, this is only one side of the gender study, so I don't really know. But
you know, all the guys are like, oh, God, I want nothing to do with her kids. Yes.
She's got a lot of kids. So she's been with another man who's probably better. Huh?
No thanks.
Yeah.
It's so wild to look back in history, and by that I mean like old movies, TV shows, and things like
old
that.
Old-timey.
About what a scourge it was to be a divorced woman.
Oh, yeah.
In the 1950s, 1960s, times like that, that it was considered almost an embarrassment, a scarlet letter of type.
Do you remember that Happy Days episode? The divorcee, they called her hot to trot.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. She's a whore.
I wonder in the back of the mind of the single person about to date the divorcee, like, do I really want to get, like, what's the ex like? Do I really want to get involved in something where, I saw a video.
He does commercials for Hertz.
I hate this on Twitter, but it ended up in my feed. This woman got her ass kicked by her boyfriend's ex-wife. Like, I guess maybe they were at the same, it was like they were at a Little Caesars or something like this. And, I mean, she was just getting stomped on. Who knows the reason why, but it's like, you know what? I think we're going to break up now because I don't want that to be a part of my life.
Yes.
You know?
You bring that luggage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember, and this is not a divorced situation, but I was in my early 20s, and this older woman approached me. She was married, and she made her intentions very clear that she was interested in me.
Wow.
And she was married and, like, wanted to like arrange a hookup, a meetup and stuff. And here I am in my 20s. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. This is incredible. Oh my God. This is every fantasy coming true. And then reality hit and I'm like, wait a minute, dude.
Yeah.
She's married. This could end with me 6 feet under the ground.
Yeah, this could end
there
with you.
No way I am going into this.
Hey, Lipid Pants.
Yeah. But even when there's a divorce involved, that's something to be considered as well. Is there a psycho ex?
Yeah.
Because apparently things didn't work out.
Am I going to end up jumping out a window in my underwear?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Which would be a great story to share down the road.
Right, you know? Unless you're hunted down.
I think I've told you guys this before, but like in my family, for whatever reason, if somebody gets divorced, the person who's leaving the family doesn't actually leave. Like we still see and
exes stay within
the family. And I think it's mainly because in most
now you can't leave.
Well, no, in most situations
now you just can't leave.
No, in most situations, the two who are getting divorced, it's not like, you know, they're not fighting and beating each other's, you know, current, you know, partner up and stuff like that. So they're friendly. So in turn, everyone sort of, you know, stays friends with them. But I mean, for years, my uncle's ex-wife.
Is this the paperclip?
No, a different one. Would come to holidays. She would spend Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving with us.
Wow.
And with
that's a good sign, right. I guess, that you've made it as congenial as possible.
If there are kids involved, you know, I mean, my parents are friendly with my ex-wife. And, you know, my youngest brother's divorced. His ex-wife is in the picture as well. Like, it's... It, it, they're. just because they're no longer married to that person, they are still related to you because of the child, you know, in one way or the other. And my ex-wife will always be a part of my life because of our son. And I'm really lucky. I have a great divorce, you know, I text with my ex-wife every day, essentially. So, like, we're friendly, and there's no reason to, you know, exclude her from my life.
And I'm sure there's a dynamic out there. In fact, I know that there is, where your family member was the one who messed up in the relationship.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah, and how can you take their side? Because they were the a-hole.
He blew
all
his money on Pokemon cards.
There you go.
Maybe that's...
told him not to.
Yeah. You dumbass. He collected two things, Dwight Gooden and Pokemon cards.
Look what happened. All right, we're moving on. This was a stream of consciousness nor story from a couple of days ago, and it has to do with Delaware. And apparently there is an
Sunshine State
running of pot-bellied pigs in Delaware.
Yeah, in
rural and residential areas. And with that rise, the apparently in 2016, the state experienced a significant rise in pot-bellied pigs, and now they become a nuisance to landowners. They're running the risk of establishing a feral pig population.
Okay.
And spreading diseases such as salmonella, among other issues, in Delaware.
All right. Well, we finally have a show member who lives in Delaware now. Kyle McCarty. Yeah. He's a Delaware resident, formerly of New Jersey. So he kind of can speak on both if we ever have to talk Jersey.
Do a
stuff.
TED talk.
Okay. Yeah.
Can he grab us a pig?
Yeah.
Officials said that the problem can be traced back to people who purchase the pigs as pets. Often, people who sell the animals use terms like micro pigs and pocket pigs to make a sale.
So it's pet pig purchasers.
But as the pigs age, they can grow up to 70 to 200 pounds and have a lifespan of 15 to 20 years.
There was a while there where I thought we were going to have a pig because my youngest loves pigs. My wife was following these people on Instagram who have a pet pig, and not the gigantic ones like Jeff Devlin's.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Brought home, but I was like, man, I think and apparently they're intelligent.
The word is they make really good pets, that they really are cool as, you know, but again, when they start to exceed 200 pounds, that's
the thing. So, Casey, someone may tell you that you're getting a small pig, and then you get it home, and then a couple of years in, you're like, this ain't no small pig.
Yeah.
So, as a result, a lot of the pigs can become strays, and some owners who can't bear the brunt of pig parenting relinquish ownership and allow them to roam around, and then you have the Delaware feral pig problem.
So has there, how many, did they get an estimate number-wise?
I don't have a number. No, there's no number in this particular
article.
5 pigs
for every person?
The at-large pigs are often going to cause problems for land, livestock, and humans, and as a result of that, officials said that swift action will be taken to mitigate any threats. For example, if pigs are found on state-owned land, such as state forests and state parks, they will be, dispatched immediately.
Wow.
Primarily, that's because pot-belly pigs can reproduce as young as 8 weeks of age.
Jesus.
Wow. Which could allow feral pig populations to, you know, quickly crop up and get out of hand.
Very absolutely. Quick.
You know who would help with this is Strangle Farms, Steve.
Strangle Farms is a great option. If you're overrun with pigs, just take them over to Strangle Farms. They'll give you the piano wire. You can kill them. I'll tell you this. I mentioned the Mary Mead Farms pig, which is adorable. I think it's better if you have a farm situation than a condo for your 200-pound pig.
Pig poop is awful.
Oh, my God.
It smells so bad. Like, if you ever get
it'll
stuck behind...
sear your nose.
If you're, like, I've been in North Carolina a few times, and there's a lot of hog farms down there. If you get stuck behind one of those trucks, it is just terrible.
Yeah. Well, dude, Hatfield Meats is out this
way. There you go.
And so where I live, and so I get behind those trucks every now and then. It is horrible. I think maybe even worse, though, is the chicken. If you smell the chicken trucks and the chicken poop, they're just...
Slow your roll.
The stench is ridiculous. Yeah. I'm sorry, Gene.
Easy. Looks like a crazy here.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Tap
the brakes.
When I had those baby chicks in my garage for like less than a week, by the time they left, like the smell lingered, I want to say, for like a good 2 weeks.
Oh, you got the ducks.
In general, I enjoy the sort of basic farm smell.
Yeah.
Truck full of
a
pig
light
crap.
Poop smell.
Right. Right.
You know what you're saying? Yes.
Yes.
It's earthy
in general.
It's nice.
Right.
It's
aromatic.
You think of the bounty of the earth.
Right.
When you're morons. Around that farm, so you know.
Casey, I did the ducks as well. They were worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the ducks were worse.
Yeah, but they swim in your bathtub.
I liked the chicks way better.
All right. Well, anyhow, potbelly pigs found at large will be assumed to be stray.
And will be strangled.
If the pig has identification such as an ear tag, it will be returned to its owner. But otherwise, yeah, they're going to...
Bacon, oh, man.
Yep, there you go.
Sausage. Yep, exactly. All right, this is good news. Always nice to hear good news. Gas prices are shifting in the U.S., and AAA is now saying the gas prices will likely drop just in time for holiday travel. Though the AAA reported a national average retail price of $3.60 a gallon for regular unleaded gas for Monday. Prices are about 10% or 10 cents per gallon lower than the week prior. And they're saying that many stations across the U.S. are already priced below $3. And it's not impossible.
And you get a free pot belly pig with every fill-up, Preston.
Hold there. We could see a national average of $2.99 around Christmas, which would be a gift that motorists are hoping for. But every year you hear the... Every year. I can't tell you when I've ever heard around a holiday that, you know, it's going to be less expensive to travel this year. It's always more expensive to travel around the holidays.
I got a tip this morning, Preston. There's a website or on Twitter called At Morning Brew, and they say that traveling through Pennsylvania this week, you should stop at Sheetz. Now, listen, I'm a Wawa guy, but this says stop at Sheetz. The gas station chain is lowering the price of their unleaded 88 gas to $1.99 per gallon.
What?
To provide relief for customers during the holidays. So it's a Thanksgiving promotion.
Yeah. All right, Wawa. Ball's in your court.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But $1.99 per gallon for the unleaded 88 during the holiday weekend.
I think a nice response would be a free fill-up with every purchase of a small coffee. Yeah.
All right.
So I'm going to drive out to Mechanicsburg to go to Sheetz so I can fill up for gas. It should only cost me how many miles?
You know what?
Drive all the way back.
Yeah. Bring some garbage bags. You had a story, Preston, where a guy had filled up bags full of gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, who's the guy? What about the guy, the motorcycle? The guy was tased.
Tased.
Yeah. He had a container of gas
on his back, and it exploded. So follow that model.
Yeah. No, I was going
to
say, I go to my Liberty gas station.
You own a gas station?
No. It's not mine. It's the Fritch's.
Oh.
They own it. And I go there because I don't even look at the prices. The guy who owns the place, Mr. Fritch, is the best. And, you'll see him out. Like, there's a median in front. Like, you see him out.
Hey, everyone, Casey's here.
He cleans up the street. Like, you'll see him.
Really?
And nobody's
paying. What's his name?
Mr.
Mr.
Mr. Fritch.
Mr. Gaster.
Yes, I, you know what? I don't know what his name is. His son's name is Vinny. Vinny was an intern of ours when he was in the high school. They had to do like a project. But
Casey, come here. Let me tell you. You're a good boy. I like you.
This guy will go and he'll clean the medians of Route 320 on Sproul Road.
Very nice.
And he's great.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I got to drive west on the turnpike tomorrow, and then I'm going to head south on 81, which takes me through like Carlisle. I wonder if there's a Sheetz out that way because.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where the closest Sheetz is.
Huh.
Danny, you guys, have you ever been to one?
I actually just went to one. Yes, I went out there. It was during the fall when I got like my mums and stuff like that. And yeah, I stopped at a Sheetz and only because I had never been to one. I wanted to see what it was like, compare it to Wawa.
Right.
I got a sandwich and I will say it wasn't as good as Wawa for sure.
Sheetz are fine, but they're not. Wawa's better, but I mean, you know, they're usually clean. The one out in Lancaster is the one I end up going to, for a coffee or something. But otherwise, yeah, they're fine. And but I mean, to travel that just to fill up your tank,
right? But I'm doing it anyway, so I might as well stop.
Yeah.
There's something that I've been to the one in Hershey, and there's just something that seemed fake about it. I don't know what.
There's sushi.
No.
It's very similar in the, like, you know, they have the computers where you order like Wawa. Like, it looked a little bit like Wawa. The setup was.
They all seem like prostitutes.
No.
No, but it was almost like a faux Wawa, is what I felt like.
Faux Wawa. Okay. Yeah, I like that. No.
Just, you know, it seems a little truck stoppy to me.
I think that's it.
Wawa's got a little more personality to it.
Ooh.
It's your neighborhood Wawa.
That is a good observation. Truck stoppy.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Lot lizards-y.
Maybe it was the lot lizards. Yeah. but I don't know.
The one I went to wasn't truck stoppy. It was very Wawa-like. It just wasn't like maybe the quality of Wawa.
It's Wawa light.
Yeah.
It is Wawa light.
All right. There's another story I want to get to because I know we got to take a break. But I wanted to pass this one. So let me move on to that. This is pretty cool. I was happy to see this because we host a very large blood drive in the summertime. And some people can't give blood, and it's been for years, if they happen to have been in Europe or visited Europe for a certain amount of time.
Right.
During the deadly mad cow disease scare. But federal health officials have lifted the ban that has stood more than two decades now. It's over with.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so when you answer those questions, a lot of it has to do with where you've traveled, where you've lived, have you served overseas, things like that.
And have you some made of it a cow is, mad? Yeah.
In the United Kingdom, blood collectors nationwide are tracking down people, U.S. citizens who lived, worked, or vacationed in the United Kingdom, France, Ireland, or several of military bases in Europe during various periods between 1980 and 2001, as well as anyone who received blood transfusions in those three countries anytime since 1980. Since 1999, those people have been banned from giving blood in the U.S. for fear that they'd been exposed to mad cow disease. Outbreaks of the cattle-borne infection swept through Europe, eventually killing at least 232 people, mostly in the UK. Four cases have been reported in the U.S., all in people who likely acquired the infection abroad. So while you hear that number 232, you're like, oh, that's not that many people to die of, you know, something over that period of time. But apparently it's something that can get, that has a long shelf life. It can last in you for a long time. And if you get that integrated into the blood system, it can get out of control.
It can be another catastrophe, Preston. I'll tell you this.
Yes, it can.
As I recall, wasn't the step-off of mad cow bone and cow parts ending up in the feed the cows themselves were eating, or was that just simply an urban legend?
I don't know, but I do recall hearing something like that.
Right.
But I'm not sure, Steve.
Something quasi-cannibalistic about it.
So the rare disease is caused by an abnormal form of a protein called prion, which triggers damaging changes to the brain and central nervous system. It's spread from sick cattle to people.
It's 100% lethal, is it not?
It's people who eat contaminated beef. But it can also be transmitted through blood transfusions. But after decades of research and reassessment, the FDA has determined the risk of the disease has abated, thanks in large part to changes in the way the cattle are raised and the treatment of donated blood. And the agency eased the restrictions over the past 2 years and fully lifted them in May. That means hundreds of thousands of former donors can once again roll up their sleeves, and that might bolster the U.S. blood collections, which lagged during the pandemic.
So we have a pig calamity, but the cow stuff is eased up.
Yeah. So the American Red Cross, which provides about 40% of the U.S. supply last month, began accepting donors previously deferred because of the risk of mad cow disease. But, I mean, it's a good thing that they took those precautions, and it seemed like a long time, and it was. It was a couple of decades, but now they said that it's passed. And invariably fatal, with an incubation period that can last years or even decades, the emergence of mad cow disease in humans in the late 1990s alarmed officials responsible for the safety of the blood supply. So they took that precaution, and apparently it's worked.
I never realized that was solely because of mad cow disease.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So there you go. If in the past you haven't been able to donate, you will now be able to.
Yay!
Great news, especially for the I Bleed for Presidency blood drive, which, you know.
This means we can hold the next one in Paris, Preston.
Let's do it. Let's go to Dollywood and then Paris for a blood drive. I'm excited about that. All right, that's the Stream of Consciousness nerd. We want to take a break. Come back in a moment. We're going to talk to our buddy Connor Barwin. There's a cool musical event that's coming up that he wants to promote a little bit later on. Peter Billingsley will be joining us. Yes, Ralphie from A Christmas Story now has A Christmas Story Christmas, which is out on HBO Max. We'll get the B-File when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. It's not fancy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I would like to, right before we dive into the bizarre file, give away some passes to our Christmas Miracle Live broadcast.
It's a Christmas miracle! Yeah!
All right, so December 21st, when this is going to be, you have to be at least 21 years of age. You got to be there early, all right, by 6 a.m., because we got to get you registered in, because you might be up on stage. Who knows? You might get randomly called to get up and answer a question about the Preston and Steve radio program and walk away with some of our best gifts of the year. It's what we do. It's our year-end thank you for listening to our program. We'll be at Parks Casino in Bensalem. And we can take 7 callers right now at 215-263-WMMR. You can bring a guest with you. Please bring a guest and make sure you wear your ugly sweater, because it is a Miller Lite ugly sweater contest as well. And we have prizes in conjunction with that to give away. And it's just a great morning. We have a good time. We eat some food. We drink some beverages. We play some games. And it's a live event. Yeah, we always have a great time.
Yeah.
So, let's get you on board for that right now while you are calling. And then we have a guest we're going to do, but let's get to the B-file first. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And the Bizarre File this morning is brought to you by Red Robin. The holiday gifts are all wrapped. Give the gift of yum with a $25 Red Robin holiday gift card and get a $5 bonus buck reward for you. Now through December 31st. Red Robin.
Yum. Nim, 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 nim. All right. I think that's a better tag.
Yeah.
Nim, 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 nim. All right. So a Texas woman entering the U.S. told border officials that the wooden box in her car was filled with beer. In reality, it was a spider monkey that she planned to sell.
Spider monkey.
20-year-old woman pleaded guilty to smuggling wildlife into the U.S. without first declaring and invoicing it and fleeing an immigration checkpoint as well. She attempted to enter the U.S. From Mexico through the Gateway Bridge in Brazos, and officers noticed a wooden box with holes inside of her car, which she claimed contained beer that she had bought in Mexico.
The holes are so beer can breathe.
When officers opened the box, they discovered a live spider monkey. Officers then referred the woman to a second inspection, but she took off after that. Later that day, officers discovered online sales listings for the spider monkey with the woman's phone number on it.
Hey, the monkey drank all your beer.
She turned herself in. The monkey was recovered, placed in an animal shelter in Central Florida, and she will be sentenced on January 25th. The Stokes family. This is in England, I believe, is going to have a much quieter Christmas this year because 8 of them are now in prison. They were given jail terms after a wedding turned into a bloodbath between up to 50 guests.
Wow.
They threw chairs, tables, and glasses at one another. They used coat stands, fire extinguishers as weapons during the fight at the Daresbury Park Hotel. Things were so out of hand that when police turned up, they had to retreat until backup arrived, leaving them scrapping for a total of around 45 minutes. In total, the Stokes boys caused about $20,000 in damage to the hotel when 150 people were meant to be celebrating. A barman saw 3 men arguing around 11 p.m., but by the time he returned 15 minutes later to the main bar, around 40 men were fighting.
Oh, those Stokes boys.
Yeah. Security footage showed them throwing items across the room and overturning a sweet cart. When the local police officer arrives, they quickly realize they were unable to deal with the mayhem, so they called for an armed response unit, and in the end, 30 police cars arrived at the scene and carried out mass arrests. So the arrests were as follows. Edward William Stokes was sentenced to 27 months in prison. Terry Stokes received 21 months.
Wow.
Thomas Stokes, Milton Keynes will be joined for 25 months, while Edward Stokes was given a 16-week prison sentence. A further 5 people were sentenced, with John Stokes sentenced to 16 months. John Stephen Stokes was handed 21 months. Stephen Stokes was sentenced to 20 months. And Brian Stokes and Edward Stokes were given 18 months.
Best wedding ever.
The Stokes crew is in trouble.
Wow.
A 21-year-old hot dog vendor was arrested for stabbing a person after an alleged turf war between out-of-town hot dog vendors set up outside a Petco park late Saturday night. San Diego police had to respond.
So there's a war between hot dog vendors?
Yeah. Yeah, there were reports of a large brawl involving 10 to 15 people. Duke Dumont had played at Petco Park before the incident was reported, which drew a crowd of thousands of people and typically also provides an opportunity for local vendors to feed hungry concert goers in search of a quick and tasty bite. As tempers flared, witnesses said hot dog vendors from Los Angeles were set up in areas where San Diego hot dog vendors typically sling food.
We don't need your kind around here.
And a physical altercation of territory ensued. Police said that a group of food vendors got into a verbal argument, resulting in a 31-year-old man being stabbed in the back. Wow. Police deployed pepper spray. They showed a video showed multiple people being treated on the scene. Fire rescue had to show up and help those who were affected by the pepper spray. The male victim who was stabbed was transported to an area hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Yanni Yanes is his name, was taken into custody. Oh, no, the person who did the stabbing was taken into custody for the stabbing.
So the stabber was Yanni Yanes.
Yanni Yanes stabbed someone, yes. All right, and then finally, we will end with this story. A Missouri man has pleaded guilty to robbing a local Bank of America branch using a demand note written on the back of his own birth certificate and while he was wearing an ankle monitor related to a previous case.
I need something to write on, a note. Give me my birth certificate.
That easily placed him at the scene. He did it all, by the way, he admitted to authorities, to, quote, prove a point to his lover, though it's unclear from court records precisely what point he was trying to make.
I told Michael you Conley I'm stupid.
Lloyd yeah. Entered his plea to one count of bank robbery, and it happened at approximately 11:30 a.m. An unknown white male, which turned out to be Lloyd, wearing a gray cutoff T-shirt with blue gym shorts and one orange shoe on his right foot, entered the Bank of America.
I'm guessing he wasn't a pro.
Approached the teller counter, presented a note to the teller, which written on a white piece of printer-like paper, was written with a pink marker, and it said, give me your money now, don't say anything, I have a partner outside. And then the unidentified perpetrator had used a black Dodge Ram pickup truck as a getaway vehicle. A phone call 10 minutes later after the heist drew the local constabulary to Lloyd. The call came from the boyfriend of Lloyd's roommate. Lloyd was quickly located at the Lazy Acres Mobile Home Park where he lived.
I'm incarcerated, Lloyd.
Yeah. Confessed. That's right. Lloyd was incarcerated. He swiftly confessed, and Lloyd admitted to robbing the bank. He told investigators that he robbed the bank because he and his lover had gotten into a fight, and he wanted to prove a point.
There you go.
They still don't know what the point was.
You are an idiot.
So, anyhow,
I'm incarcerated, Lloyd.
The demand note was written on the back of Lloyd's birth certificate, and they don't know why he used that as well.
That's my birth certificate. Look at my license. It's me.
For whatever reason, he thought it was a good idea at the time. All right, there you go. Mm. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we have a guest who is standing by. Steve, we talked about The Last Waltz on a few occasions.
Oh, it's one of the greatest concert movies ever. And the collection of music in The Last Waltz, phenomenal.
Yeah, it really solidified me as an appreciator of the band.
Yes.
I liked a few songs here and there, but after seeing that movie, you're like, okay, these guys were a real force to be reckoned with and something special. And there's an event that is coming up, and it's a tribute to The Last Waltz, and it's going to be at Franklin Music Hall, and there's a charity beneficiary, and it's in conjunction with our friend Connor Barwin, and we want to welcome him to the show this morning, Connor Barwin.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Nice to see you, sir. And I mentioned a charity connection, the Make the World Better Foundation, correct, is going to get some of the proceeds from this event.
Yes, yeah, exactly. We're very thankful. We're getting all the proceeds from the event. Awesome. You know, this event is getting put on by Brian Dilworth's wife. Brian Dilworth, as you guys know, passed away a couple years ago. And this was a show that he put on, I think, twice before. And it was his favorite show that he ever put on. And so to honor him, his wife is putting this show together. And then Dilworth was a hardcore board member for MTWB the whole time MTWB has existed. So his wife wanted to give the proceeds to MTWB. So it's really great, and we're very thankful for Kristen for doing this.
So the concert is it pretty much a recreation of what you would see if you were to see the Last Waltz movie, correct?
Yeah, yep, that's exactly the idea. And that's, yeah. And that's what Brian did, years ago, and it was his favorite show. So his wife has put together the whole thing just like he did.
When I tell you that if you've never seen it, and Preston, you know, I was kind of in the same realm you were with the band prior to The Last Waltz. I always appreciated them, but I didn't realize just how revered they were. The collection of songs and music that you see throughout this is so phenomenal, and apparently the musicians collected for this, Connor, are so amazing that their ability to replicate it is just breathtaking. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. It's a force of local musicians that are coming together to put on this show. And like you said, I mean, people haven't watched The Last Waltz. Just watch it right now. Watch it this weekend. The band is obviously incredible. And then the group of musicians that the band brought together to kind of perform this last show is really incredible, and we're just trying to recreate that show.
I listen to that music all. I listen to that soundtrack all the time. It's that good.
Yeah, and I love the band. And Connor, I'm just looking at some of the special guests. Just the special guests: Adam Wiener from Lokot Kani, David Wasiknin of the Hooters. Don McCloskey, who we've become great friends with and fans of over the last year or two. I mean, those are just like some of the special guests. The band itself has got the horn section. It's a really impressive musical lineup.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's going to be an awesome night. It's going to be an awesome show. There's going to be kind of good vibes going all around. It's the day after Thanksgiving. It's going to be a really special night.
So I understand, Connor, you're going to be covering the Dylan songs. Is that correct?
yeah, that's exactly it. Those are the ones I'm going to do.
Now, obviously, you're a huge music fan. You've had these shows over the years, and you have a real tight connection with some cool bands. But what is your own musical talent like, Connor Barwin?
It's very bad. this is a true story. I've only failed one class ever in my whole life, and it was band class in seventh grade. And I was playing the drums, and my teacher failed me. I was like, what's going on?
Wow, for such a music lover to be so terrible at it.
Very few people fail band.
That's what I'm saying. People that know this understand how funny that is.
And if you were playing the triangle, weren't you? Wasn't it?
I actually.
It's a harder instrument than people are.
There's video of me doing a concert. Which one concert? I was that guy that was limited to the triangle in the back. But I got better after he failed me, and I played a little bit of drums. In seventh and eighth grade, but I'm not very good. So okay. I stick to what I'm good at.
Is coming up on November 26th at Franklin Music Hall, and you can go to axs.com. It'll be a great time to get out and obviously help to better. For those who aren't familiar, Connor, a couple of the projects I know you mention it every time you come on our program, but for those who may not be aware of it, if you could just bring them up to speed on Make the World Better, that'd be great.
Yeah. Thank you. We work with communities to kind of reimagine and rebuild their public spaces. And so right now we're working on a project in Grays Ferry, a $20 million project. And really what MTWD does different and better is we really, really work closely with the people that use those public spaces. And we work with them to empower them and design it for what they think they need. And it takes a little bit of time, but we think that's what makes these places special.
Well, by taking the extra time, the things that you end up achieving will last longer and serve the communities they're in much better.
Well,
so
yeah, and there's kudos. Also more of a vested interest in the community when they're getting their hands dirty and working on cleaning up these parks. So when they've actually got some sweat equity involved, they're a little bit more involved post project, right?
Exactly. I mean, we think, you slow down at the beginning, you kind of sort of speed up at the end. And this really makes these projects a lot more sustainable in the long run.
Excellent.
Connor, on a personal note, what do you got going on for Thanksgiving this week? You headed out of town or are you guys staying here? You hosting? What's up?
Well, we got a game Sunday against the Packers, so we're on our normal weekly routine. But I will have Thanksgiving at my house in Fishtown, and my in-laws are in town. So we're deep frying a turkey. I've never done that before.
Ah,
that's what's on the deck for us.
So okay. Make sure you have lots of fire extinguishers at the ready.
Yeah, Connor. It comes up every year. Every year.
We almost burned down the radio station, Connor. So just be careful, okay?
Me.
Sorry.
I almost burned it down. But yes, listen, get a kid you not, man. Get a fire extinguisher that is rated for oil.
Yes.
All right? The wood ones don't work. They will not put it out.
No.
And you will have to call the fire department. So get the oil-rated kitchen type of fire extinguishers. A little tip from your Uncle Press.
Yes. Chances are you'll be fine. Noted. Yeah, but just the precaution is always good.
Yep. All right. Noted. The event, once again, it is the Philadelphia Tribute to the Last Waltz, and it's going to be at Franklin Music Hall, and that will be November 26th. And you can go to AXS.com. Connor, have a great Thanksgiving, man. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, and congrats on the food drive. I heard you guys set a record this year. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Connor Barwin, everyone.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, let us take a break and come back in a moment. A little bit later on, Peter Billingsley, who, of course, played Ralphie in A Christmas Story and is also playing Ralphie in A Christmas Story Christmas, which is now available. We'll be talking to us in a few. We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us this morning.
We are happy to pass along the results of Camp Out for Hunger. You raised over 2.8 million pounds of food.
1 million pounds more than last year. Money raised going to Phil Abundance. $1,078,254.
That's astonishing. And a reminder, you can still donate at your local Acme.
Yes. Everyone stepped up in incredible fashion.
Absolutely.
Camp Out for Hunger would not be possible without the generosity of you and our partners.
Event Quip, Philly Photo and Film, Town Square Rentals, Pods Moving and Storage, Bowder Audio, and Newman University Videography.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
Powered in part by Beanbo Bakeries USA, Pepsi, Dunkin', and Stauffer.
93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Casey was telling me, guys, that we have a few prizes to give away, and I thought it might be kind of fun to try playing a game that we've never played before this morning. And what?
You at home.
Yeah.
We'll try a game we've never done before. Our games usually fail, so now we'll do a new one, and you at home.
Yeah, now that you're at home and you got this sophomore on the board.
On the board, you?
Yeah.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. No, actually, I'd prep this game for Camp Out for Hunger because we like to have some contests ready to go just in case we have some guests that feel like playing a game, something like that. And so I put a little bit of work into this, and I think this is a lot of fun, and I'd like to try this out. And I forgot where I got the idea for this. And by the way, if you know lyrics of classic rock music, then this contest is for you. So it's pretty simple a game, but you need to know music pretty well. And I could take any genre that I want to do this another time, and I'll explain this. But I just went with classic rock because there are some iconic lyrics in the world of classic rock that I thought people might know. And so let me explain the game, and we'll solicit for the calls, and we'll find out what we have to give away. But I've titled this Classic Rock in Other Words. And I forgot where I had the idea to do this. I think I heard of, one of the great songs, right. And I was listening to it. And I, the opening lines to some songs are, for lack of a better term, they're classic. And you will always remember them. But I thought, what if I used an alternate word for every single word in the lyric of a song? How difficult would it be to identify that particular song? So I took words, literally every single word. I tried to use every single word on a rare occasion, like an and or an if.
There's only so much you can do.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to replace with a different word to try and see if you could identify the song. And as I started to do it, I'm like, this is kind of fun. It took a while to do, but I eventually came up with a bunch of them.
So that's how it becomes cryptic, and you just have to figure out sort of again, these are classic rock lyrics that just may not be obvious when they're done this way.
Yes,
exactly. And so, we have stuff to give away, obviously, so we're giving thanks back to you.
Now, the only thing is that formatically, I could just take a caller and see if you know the answer, but I thought it might be kind of fun to have people play against each other.
All right.
And see if they can kind of buzz in And see if someone can get it correctly. So what I want to try doing is getting two people on the line at a time, and I will read the classic rock line in other words, and if you know it, you need to say your name, first of all, that's you buzzing in, say your name, and then I'll let you guess as to what it is. And if you don't know, then your partner, the person you're playing against, actually will have a free shot at taking a stab at
it. Are you sure you wouldn't want us to drive buzzers over to each contestant's home as they're playing?
Maybe we could do it.
All right. Yeah, well, actually, your way probably makes more sense.
Whatever's convenient for you guys.
Yeah. No, this is good.
We only have a few. We don't have the manpower.
So we'll get callers on the line. Case, what do we have to give away this morning, by the way?
All right. Well, we have the Christmas Miracle Passes to give away. So it seems coveted. But, majority of the people on the line, that's what they want to win. But we also do, for those of you who can't make it to our event on December 21st, we do have cases of Victory Brewing's new 6% Hazy IPA.
So you can stay home and get hammered.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. So let's try this out. I thought this might be kind of fun. 215-263-WMMR is the number. And these are very well-known songs. I took there are no obscure tunes in here whatsoever. These are songs you've definitely heard on MMR at one time or another, but they do fall under that classic rock moniker. If we do have to put, I know it's all rock and roll, but if we have to put a title on them, it would be classic rock. So, Casey, let me know when you get callers on the line, and we'll try it out.
All right, right now, and Press, you're going to have to coach me through this just a little bit. I have to hit this button twice to put Toby on.
Correct.
Okay, so we got Toby on line one who's ready to rock, and then we have Jay on line two as well.
Okay, Toby and Jay. Let me make sure they can hear me. Toby, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And Jay, are you there?
Gadzooks.
All right.
Gadzooks to you, sir. Okay, so this is the way it's going to work. I'm going to start reading the lyric, in other words, of a very famous classic rock song. The second you think you know what it is, say your name. I will stop right then and there. And you will have a chance to answer it. And if you get it correct, you win the prize. If not, the other person gets to go, and they get to. And I will finish the lyric for them. So, Toby and Jay, you guys ready?
Yep. Yeah. Question: do we say the name of the song
first? You say your name, okay, to make sure that you've buzzed in, and then I will allow you to answer.
That's how it has to be. All right.
All right, that just lets us know who goes. All right, so here we go. This is classic rock, in other words, song number one. Let's begin. She was a very quick mechanism. Her engine was tidy.
Jay.
She was the greatest. Jay. All right, Jay, what is it?
It's AC/DC, and it's she was a fast machine. She kept her motor clean. She was the best damn woman I'd ever seen.
Keep going.
What's the title?
You have a title of the song?
She'll be all night long.
He worked through it. Good he work. Did it.
All right.
That is correct. And Casey, what do we have for Jay, please?
All right. So hang on one second. I got to.
While he's going through that, I'll give you the rest of the line. So she was a very quick mechanism. Her engine was tidy. She was the greatest female I had ever laid eyes upon. She was ocularly blind and speaking only the truth while rendering me unconscious with her U.S. quadriceps.
Okay.
All right. So Jay,
that's the American thighs.
You won yourself a pair of tickets to attend Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle broadcast on Wednesday, December 21st at the Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. And now only you will be eligible to be called up to the podium to compete for the big prizes, but you can bring a guest with you. So congratulations. I'm going to throw you on hold. I didn't hang up on it. I did it.
Yeah, you did it.
Look at mommy. I did it.
All right, let's get two more callers on the line, if you can do that.
Yeah, we've got Ryan and Nicole on the line right now.
All right, Ryan, can you hear me?
Yes.
And Nicole, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
It's all working out.
You guys know how this works?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Say your name if you know the answer to this. By the way, I have to thank my wife, Rochelle, because we came up with these together. She helped me out as I had pulled up the lyrics. All right, next song. Here we go. Only a minor municipality female residing in an isolated state. She rode a witching hour locomotive nowhere.
Ryan.
Right, Ryan?
Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah!
You did it! You did it! That is correct. She rode a witching hour locomotive to nowhere in particular, just an urban dwelling man birthed and reared in Lower Motor City. He rode the witching hour locomotive to nowhere in particular, and that is indeed... she was just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took a midnight train to anywhere.
And she never stopped believing.
And Case, what do we have for Ryan?
And Ryan won a pair of tickets to attend Preston Steve's Christmas Miracle broadcast Wednesday, December 21st, Excite Center Inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. And he is going to be eligible to be called up to the podium to compete for the
excellent
big prizes.
By the way, those were the two easiest ones. They do get a little bit more involved. I just wanted to ease it in for the audience.
All right,
we're playing classic rock. In other words, let's get to more contestants. Case?
All right, we got Steve and Bob.
All right, very easy to do. All right, Steve, you there?
I am. Good morning, it.
Good morning, it to you. Bob, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
All right, let's see how you guys do. Next contest in classic rock, in other words. Let's begin. On a nighttime barren roadway, chilly breeze on my scalp, toasty
Steve.
Odor of
marijuana. Bob, Bob.
No, Steve.
Oh, I heard Steve first. Yeah. All right, Steve.
Hotel California.
He's right.
Yeah! Yep, that's it. Said it was harder.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that one was easy. By the way, I never knew that line, Warren, smell of Kalitas. I never knew what that meant. Apparently, that's weed. I had to look that up. And so that was my line.
I thought it was lady parts.
Toasty odor of marijuana buds lifting into the atmosphere. Forward of me, far away, I had the vision of a bright flash. My cranium gained weight, and my vision darkened. I had to cease for the evening.
So what was it? It's Kalitas, you said?
Yeah, we talked about that on the show one time.
Did we?
Did we?
It was because we didn't know what the hell Kalitas was.
I thought it was Cletus.
It's Kalitas.
My stupid cousin.
It was like a slack-jawed yokel.
Man, Cletus stinks, don't he? Yeah. This hotel's a crazy damn hotel. You can't check out.
Most folk will never lose a toe.
Kalitas, I guess, is maybe a strain of weed, or is it a nickname for pot, Nick? Do you remember?
It was just like a nickname, a silly way of saying it. And who wrote that? Was it Henley?
I think it was...
Or was it Glenn Frey?
I think it was...
One of them. Felder wrote the music, and I think Glenn Frey picked up on it, and he wrote the lyrics.
Okay.
So. All right, two more contestants. Bitches.
All right, we have... we got Dan on line 7, and we also have Ed.
Dan, a good morning to you.
Good morning, Crumbum.
Good morning, Crumbums.
Thank you, Crumbum. Ed, good morning it to you. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. Easy game. You ready to play?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Here is, and I think this gets a little bit harder, okay? Mm. Here is your next classic rock in other words. Warm salutations to the tropical forest. We have entertainment and contests. We have all that you desire. Nectar, we possess the knowledge of what everyone is called. If you have the currency, Nectar, we have your sickness. I hear me.
I hear you, too. You sound great, bro.
All right, let me read that again. Warm salutations to the tropical forest. We have entertainment and contests. We have all that you desire. Nectar, we possess the knowledge of what everyone is called. If you have the currency, Nectar, we have your sickness.
Dan, Ed, any clues?
Three, two, one.
Oh!
Stumper!
Immediately.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Later, you guys, any guesses in the studio?
I know what it is. Yeah, me too.
Do you want us to give it, or do you want to go to two of the other contestants?
No, because somebody might automatically know it as
welcome
soon as
we go.
Welcome to the jungle. So that is correct, yes. And by the way, I use nectar instead of honey.
Ah.
Honey, we got your disease?
Yes.
I used nectar instead. So, yes, that is correct. Welcome to the jungle. All right, next two contestants, please.
We got Chris and Michael.
All right, good morning, Chris.
Yoo-hoo!
Yeah.
Oh, I meant to try.
Right. Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Wonderful, sir. All right, we got a new line here for you. Let's see how you guys do. And we begin. Occasionally, I sense that I don't possess a mate. Occasionally, I sense as if I am my singular companion. Is the metropolitan area that I reside in Los Angeles? Solitary as I may be, with each other we weep. What song is that? I'll read it to you one more time. Occasionally, I sense that I don't possess a mate. Occasionally, I sense as if I am my singular. Is the metropolitan area that I reside in Los Angeles? Solitary as I may be, with each other we weep.
Chris, Mike?
Got him.
I know it's a Chili Peppers song. I'll go Mike.
All right, Mike.
Californication?
No. So, Chris, you get a free guess at it?
Chris? Go for it, man.
Chris, are you even there?
It's all on the
line. I'm here.
All right, you get a free guess at it, but I'm only giving you a couple seconds.
Come on, go for it.
Three.
Give it away now.
No, incorrect. Rambo, what's the answer?
Under the Bridge.
That is correct. Yes, it is Under the Bridge.
Thank you. I got it. I told you.
The opening line is, sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner, and I said, occasionally I sense that I don't possess a mate. See the other words.
It was easy. I like the city I live in.
The city I live in. Because he said City of Angels, and I just said Los Angeles.
Yeah.
See how that works?
Yes. Yeah. Totally a mind bender.
All right, let's get two more on, Case.
All right, we got Lance, and we got Brittany.
Ooh, Lance and Brittany.
Lance. Good morning, Lance.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
Hey, Britt, how you doing?
I'm not a hooker.
I love that.
That's a classic one. All right, here we go. Classic rock, in other words. Let's see if you know the answer and what song this is. Will you be bringing me to your house this evening? Below, next to the crimson flame luminescence? Will you allow everything to protrude? Large high-kneed ladies, you cause the shifting earth to rotate.
Wow.
Mm. Oh, I thought that'd be a giveaway.
Mm.
Let me give it to you again. Okay,
Brittany.
What is it?
Oh, man. I doubt I know it, but I'm going to guess. Is it Fat Bottom Girls?
It is! Yeah. Yes!
Oh, my God. I can't believe I got that.
The opening line is, will you take me home tonight? And I said, will you be bringing me to your house this evening? So there you go.
Nice.
And Brittany got it right, so we got a prize for Britt. What we got for
Brittany's Kate? Going to go to Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle Broadcast. Yay! Wednesday, December 21st at the Excite Center in Side Parks Casino in Bensalem. Congratulations.
It's going to be a hoot.
Yeah. Preston, right, I think we got time for one more.
What?
Oh, man.
Okay.
All right.
I got some good ones. All right.
Well, we're going to take this out for another drive at some point, right?
Yeah. Don't all right. Who do we have next?
All right. We got Steve and Kevin.
All right. Steve and Kevin. Hey, Steve, good morning.
All I did was get out of the shower.
That was excellent.
Nice. And Kevin, good morning to you, sir.
Nothing is over.
Yeah. Very good ones.
Nothing!
Right. Nothing!
I just got out of the shower! Coming back from Vietnam, getting out of the shower.
All stinky and whatnot.
All stinky and what? I'm body filled. Stink!
All right.
It stinks!
Right. Here we go.
Go ahead!
Classic rock in other words. Let's see if you guys can get this one right. Here we go. Instructor, cease your yelling. Instructor, can you visualize? I would prefer not to be a ritzy idiot. Possibly, I ought to head to Hades, yet I am performing admirably. Instructor has to meet me. Classes are over. It's a tough one.
Take it out for a spin one more time so Steve and Kevin can hear it.
Instructor, cease your yelling. Instructor, can you visualize? I would prefer not to be a ritzy idiot. Possibly, I ought to head to Hades, yet I am performing admirably. Instructor has to meet me after classes are over. Anybody know that song?
I do it.
You do it.
Casey, do it.
I do it.
Steve.
All right, Steve, what is
it? Hot for teacher?
Yeah!
Oh,
yeah! You did it!
You've totally.
What do we have for him, Case?
All right, well, Steve wants to go to see the Christmas Miracle broadcast, and that's what Steve's going to do. He's going to go see Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle broadcast Wednesday, December 21st at the Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem.
He do it.
And he do it. I do it.
So I stuttered at the beginning because he leads off saying, teet, just stop that scream. And the instructor part, you see.
I got it.
So do you guys like it?
Yeah, it's fun.
Got
love
some
it.
Legs? I have a bunch more of them. So we could do this another time or we could take it other genres for a spin. But classic rock, in other words, thank you for playing the game. We got surprises out. That's a beautiful thing. All right, so we're going to take a break. We will come back in a moment. Peter Billingsley will be joining us because the Christmas Story Christmas film is out now on HBO Max. We'll talk to him in just a little bit and get some other things back in a moment. Stay with us.
Greetings, good citizens. With Thanksgiving upon us, the thing I most look forward to is the traditions, be it family, friends, food, and perhaps a beverage or two. And another tradition I really enjoy is connecting with MMR listeners during my annual Welcome Home broadcast. It's happening on Thanksgiving Day. So this Thursday, starting at 10 a.m. PR Standard Time, join me live on the air or the MMR app wherever you are, and I'll be taking requests, dedications, and holiday wishes for the MMR family coming together on Thanksgiving Day. And yes, I will serve up the traditional Alice's Restaurant at 10 a.m., noon, and a Pierre vinyl cut version at 2 p.m. So let's stuff our ears with great music and cheer before you stuff your face. And happy Thanksgiving from 93.3 WMMR.
Even though I am at home today, test positive for COVID, but feel just fine, I can look via Zoom into the studio. And did Jackie Bam Bam give you that shirt, Kathy? Or where did you get that?
He did not, but it is Jackie Bam Bam approved.
Oh, is it Rolling Stone?
It's the Tongues.
Oh, there you go.
It's a series of the Rolling Stones Tongues in different forms.
You got to send Jackie a picture. That he'd be quite thrilled.
You know what? Yes, and I did.
It's amazing.
I did recently get one of those bizarre texts from Jackie, and it was like a councilman or like, I don't know what he was sending me.
Oh, man.
Because now that I know, after him and Casey went on their road trip, when he sends you a picture, there's some
attachment.
Sort of attachment.
Right. Yes.
He is thinking of you for some reason, but this one...
Even if you can't discern what it is.
Oh, this is like a contest. Can I see the picture?
Yeah. It's State Representative Craig Williams.
Okay, Craig Williams. Where is he from?
I have no
idea. You're from Conshohocken.
Casey, this is all I have.
Okay.
It was just this picture. So
it's just a picture of the guy?
That's it. It's just the picture of the guy.
He is either from Conshohocken or he's from Bucks County, I think.
Okay, all right. Let's look him up.
We have to look him up because that's what he does. He sees something.
Right. It's like a Rorschach test.
Yep.
Yeah. I see a butterfly riding a motorcycle.
When he was driving, he was like, what did he see? Because Jackson endorsed Fogo. Right?
Yeah.
And so there was a picture. We passed by a Fogo to show. And he's like, taking pictures of Jackson. I'm like, okay. You know? So that's what he...
That's adorable, though.
It really is adorable because he's always thinking of other people.
I can see him sitting there in the front seat next to you drinking his green muchacho, which is actually a macchiato.
So this guy serves portions of Chester and Delaware counties, Case.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, you know what? Sometimes Jackie's listening. Maybe he's asleep by now. But if he could explain what that's about, we'd really appreciate it.
Okay.
My Zoom, here, there you go. Kathy was frozen there for a second, but now I have you back.
Bah.
Okay. I miss you guys. What was that?
Bah. That's her frozen. Bah. Yeah.
Oh.
We miss you too. Yeah.
Well, I saw that obviously with, Thanksgiving on Thursday, getting ready for the holiday, which is going to be interesting because we're trying to quarantine from the other family members here, how we're going to go about making the meal and that whole thing.
How's that going to break out? Because you had plans that were actually fairly, not elaborate, but you had all these things in play. Yeah. That all has come to a screeching halt.
We were going to have another couple who were, alone this time of year to come over and join us. So that's not going to happen. And and Carter made it known. He's like, I don't want to do the cooking. So I was like, okay. So we got to, I don't know, we'll figure it out. But we'll mask up and we'll... We'll handle that.
It's probably too late to arrange to get something catered, right?
Because we ordered a fresh turkey anyway.
You strangled it yourself.
We have to, Carter's got to go pick it up today. Yeah, we went to Strangle Farms. No, actually, we went to Bolton Farms. And so we have to pick that up today. And you know, yeah, so we're not going to waste that.
So how do you do that? Yeah, so we'll do the cooking.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Figure it out. Figure it out later on.
You probably, oh, wait, no. I was going to say, I don't even know what you guys are going to do.
What was your question going to be?
Well, I was going to say, you guys aren't going to eat together as a family. Will you be in separate?
Yeah.
You can FaceTime.
Well, I mean, listen.
We can do that.
For some reason, my family, we all got COVID, and we all got it around different holidays. So
it's adorable.
My daughter got it for Christmas last year.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that was her Christmas.
Yeah. Well, you guys did something really sweet, though. You had Christmas in the garage, right?
Yeah, well, we put her in the garage. I said we had a... We had a tree that we weren't using. It was a kind of old beat-up tree that really belonged in the trash, but I was able to set the tree up in the garage. We had all these extra Christmas lights and wreaths and stuff like that. So, I mean, we put it together real quick and set her up in the garage. And then, you know, eventually they ended up going down the shore, just sort of like isolated or whatever. But, you know, we did what we could. It still sucked.
Yeah.
It's still, you know, it was, you know, pretty lousy and sad and stuff. But then around Easter is when my other daughter got it. And then my wife got it like Labor Day, you know, so she wasn't able to be down the shore.
So you couldn't have your Labor Day dinner together.
Well, yeah. You know, it was the last last weekend down the shore. But,
right.
But that was, you know, you guys, you pivoted.
Yeah.
You made it work, which is cool.
Yeah.
Made lemonade out of lemons. Mm-hmm.
That's what you did. All right. Well, anyhow, for those of you who are planning on Thanksgiving, going anywhere, thinking that places might be open, I do have a list of stores that will be open on Thanksgiving.
That can accommodate? All right. Because, you know, they used to, for a while, it was everything. Everything was open. They're really going nuts. That's when like things like Black Friday, you wanted to feed into that quicker. Now I think that's sort of diluted a little bit. So some stores adopted the, you know what, we're going to just let the families enjoy each other. And that's a cool thing.
When I worked at McDonald's when I was in high school, there were only 2 days where the McDonald's was closed. It was Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Really?
And I don't know if McDonald's are now open on Thanksgiving or not. But
that's
it was
a good question.
It was nice to have everybody could have those 2 days off. And they were paid holidays. So, but I don't know if that's still the case.
For years, my wife worked, she'd work at a place that was kind of the place where families would go, called the Millridge in Long Island, and families would go and have their Thanksgiving dinners there. It was kind of a family tradition for a lot of families, so she'd be working. So what we would do is, when she was done, we would go to a diner that we loved, and we would get turkey burgers.
That's cool.
And then we'd have Thanksgiving later on down the thing. So that became a tradition. But some places are open.
I guess some people do have the tradition of not you know, like Kathy did at Guppy's, like catering for Thanksgiving. Rather, I've some friends that that traveled. It's just the nuclear family. It's just they have one son, so it's a mom and dad and son, and they go every year to this resort. And that's their thing, which is kind of the antithesis of the standard Thanksgiving everybody get together thing. But it's their thing. It's their tradition.
Is it a swingers resort or just a?
It is not a swinger. No, they take their son with them.
Yeah, of course.
It's not a swingers
resort. He can play.
he is an adult now, but no, it's in Georgia, and it's nicer. It's usually a little bit warmer, and so they do that every year. But anyhow, Steve, after the pandemic, Target was one of the first retailers to announce that they would continue to be permanently closed on Thanksgiving Day, even after the world had opened back up. Similarly, Walmart stores were closed for Thanksgiving 2020 for the first time since the late 1980s. Since then, the retailer has continued this pattern. And so Walmart stores will be closed for Thanksgiving this year as well.
Which is kind of amazing. They will be open. Now, do they, on the flip side, open that much earlier? Kathy, is Black Friday as much of a thing?
What it used to be?
Well, it's not what it used to be, but...
Right. Is it still 6 a.m. or 8 a.m. opening and all that stuff for a lot of these places?
So when Target did this and they stopped opening on Thanksgiving, then they went back to the early morning hours because there are still doorbusters. Like, there's still things that you can only get in-store while they last and not, you know, online. Do they have online sales and you know, maybe even what you're getting, you know, in the store? Yes, but if it sells out...
that's it. So some people, I don't think the lines are nowhere near what they used to be, how they were wrapping around the stores and they'd put out, you know, the ropes and all that. I don't think it's that at all.
Well, Risqué has early morning nut busters, Preston, which is their version of the door busters.
Speaking of Walmart, have you guys seen the Office Space commercial with Diedrich Bader? He's playing the Lawrence character that he played in Office Space.
Yeah.
And he talks about getting two deals at the same time, man. And like it's that exact character from Office Space from, you know, 23 years ago. It's really funny. It's a great Walmart commercial.
Oh, well, let me hit a couple of these stories. All right. We're going to have Peter Billings again on here in just a minute or two. But let me give you the stores that will be open. And some of them are ones that you would expect. It says here that 7-Elevens will be open. That varies by location. Now, this isn't a regional article that I read. This is a national thing. So the Wawa's not on here. I assume that Wawa's are open Thanksgiving Day.
Now, some have more limited hours now, but that's only, I think, also staffing as well as some areas where it might be a little crime problematic. But, yeah, most of them will be open. They're always, you always rely on a Wawa
as a
go-to.
Maybe they close at, like, dinner time, but they are definitely open.
By the way, that turkey hoagie, that...
The gobbler?
The gobbler?
Yeah.
That works for me, man. Absolutely.
Then you have CVS is going to be open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Dollar General will be open 8 to 10. Dollar Tree will be open 8 to 10. Family Dollar.
So anything that's involving the transaction of a dollar will be open.
That will be open. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Varied by locations for Family Dollar. Five Below will be open.
Ooh.
But it varies by location.
So, okay.
Michael's, the craft store, is open on Thanksgiving Day. That's interesting. Ooh, so crafty.
I need to bedazzle.
That's one that gets wiped out. Like, if you don't get there Christmas or Thanksgiving, you know, on Thanksgiving or Black Friday, like, their stuff gets wiped out.
Huh. Then you have Old Navy, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
And they always have some sort of doorbuster where you get, like, a free something if you shop in-store.
Okay. Rite Aid. Varies by location.
So you Walgreens drugs
varies by location, and Whole Foods varies by location.
Have you ever had to purchase a last minute gift when you're like around Christmas from like a CVS or something?
Yeah. Sure,
you get the Whitman sampler. Yeah,
in particular, but yes, I do remember having to go and you know, yeah, go to a CVS, go to a pharmacy that's open to get something. Yeah. Casey, you have your hand up in the air. Does that mean our guest is on the line?
He is on the line.
Oh, excellent. All right, since I'm at home, I have to go with hand signals here. But listen, we were so excited when we saw the news that this movie was in existence and is now available, actually, for you to check out on HBO Max. It's a continuation of the beloved story, a Christmas story, obviously, and the one and only... Peter Billingsley is on the line now, so let's bring him on board. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, congratulations, man. This is, I never thought this would happen. This has had to be, people have had to have been working on this project for years and years and years. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, well, it's kind of crazy when you think it's been 39 years.
39.
Since the original movie came out. Which is nuts, so I was looking it up. I think it might be the longest sequel with a returning cast in cinema history. And it was definitely getting to the point of a little bit of now or never, I think. But we have been, you know, the first one took nearly 12 years to get made. Nobody wanted to make that movie. And the guys had to throw in their salaries, director and writer, to get it made. It was a low-budget movie. Didn't do that great when it first came out, and then slowly built an audience over time. So we've been on this one about 4 years, so certainly not 12, but definitely wanted to take the time to get it right.
Peter, so obviously the movie has become iconic, and it's something that just, I think, already they've started playing it around the clock, occasionally.
I know.
It's a lot.
It was a little early this year.
I thought, and I saw, I watched the movie, I very much enjoyed it because it sits right in that pocket. What I really appreciate is that there's not an over reliance on the past. You pay tribute to it, but the story evolves. And I had the joy of seeing Gene Shepard speak one time and you know talk about his childhood. Cool. It was so amazing. And your
the way this story works out is wonderful because Darren McGavin, who passed away, was the old man, and that sort of sparks the whole story. Getting everyone together, the fact that you, as you said, this cast reuniting, was everyone immediately in, or did you have to do some hunting down and locating these people?
Well, no, we had all kind of kept in touch. We hadn't been together in the same room all at once for a very long time, really, until we did this film. But I think everybody, you know, they wanted to see the script and kind of make sure, because there's been some bad ideas. You know, sequels, unfortunately, in our business have not been fantastic when they kind of do the old, hey, we're getting the band back together. All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. And they don't often turn out great. So I think everyone kind of knew that in the group. But we knew that we had something that felt right after we had really worked on developing, where are these guys now? Ralphie's as a dad with his own family, as you said, I think having some restraint in moving back. You want to give audiences, you know, yes, the bunny suit makes a very small cameo, but certainly doesn't have as significant of a part as it did in the original. There's other things. And just that kind of notion of, as a kid, what you really want is the perfect Christmas gift, but as a grown-up, what you really want is for your kids to have the perfect Christmas. So that's kind of Ralphie's new quest.
Well, the beauty of the first one is that it was timeless, though it takes place, you know, certainly of a time. This is also a period piece. This takes place in the 70s.
1973.
Right, yeah, exactly. Which makes sense. And then what you've done is you've recalibrated. Higby's is still in effect. However, the toys now are the Easy Bake Oven and things of that nature. So for it, I could connect on that level because that was my, you know, that was my zone. And so catching that as well was a really nice development. And I think also the symmetry of the story, what it becomes, because you're kind of charged with this conundrum of writing the obituary for the old man, the dad who passed away. And I believe the original story on Christmas, there was a story that Gene Shepard wrote called The Old Man, I believe, correct?
You're right, yeah. Well, so Gene Shepard wrote a lot of short stories, which were basically the basis of A Christmas Story. That and his radio shows, the BB gun being one of them, the Bumpus Hounds Eating the Turkey being one of them, the Tongue of the Flagpole being another. And they strung them all together as a series of vignettes and then kind of had the overarching story of the gun as sort of the A story, if you will. That's really what you're following. And so we kind of modeled it in a similar way. We optioned a lot of Gene's books for this. So Gene's written tons of stuff. So a lot of the narration that you hear in the movie is the same as Gene Shepard's words. Again, that sort of just goes back in the bucket of we really wanted to try to feel, for audiences to feel that they're really back safely in this world. We built 11 houses back on Old Cleveland Street, so we built the Parker House, the Bumpus House next door. And we built 9 other houses around in that neighborhood so that we could shoot around and really feel like you're kind of transported back in time.
That's great.
Hey, I wanted to ask Peter, when playing Ralphie when you were a kid, if you were just being a kid, were you being a version of you, or did you really have to pull at your acting chops at that time? And if so, if you were just being a kid, are you now just being Peter as kind of an adult with a little bit of Ralphie, or, you know, how does that play out as far as the acting perspective?
Well, for sure, I think there's always a part of you that goes into the roles, but I mean, Ralphie was probably a little more conniving than I was. I mean, okay, he's a little more of a smartass than I was at the time. Probably, you know, I mean, the dude's lying to his family. He's kind of hustling his way to try to get to a gun. It's one of the things I really loved about that movie when I had some distance. It's a very real family. The relationships feel very real. So there's certainly a part of you in it. But, you know, it was an odd movie as an actor. I had done a lot. I started at 2.5, so I had done a few things by then. But all that narration was very little dialogue, and I remember the director was reading it to me on set, and I was just thinking, like, man, I hope this movie works. This seems really strange. I'm having to act all these, like, voices on set.
You know, it's great because Flick, Schwartz, Grover Dill, Scott Farkas, everyone's in it.
Everyone makes an appearance, absolutely.
Everyone makes an appearance, and what happens is that there's logical progressions. Everything feels right to the way the characters have evolved, and so there's a general good feeling. As you were writing this, I know you wrote the story, as the script was coming together, did everyone have input on their characters, or was it they were just kind of given their character trajectory?
For sure. I mean, early on, you know, these guys are. As much as I'm associated with Ralphie in many ways, the other actors are associated really strongly publicly with Flick and Schwartz, right, and Scott. So we had a basic idea. It was pretty cool to think of, okay, where's Scott Farkas 30 years later? Where are Flick and Schwartz? Where's Randy, Ralphie's brother? So we had an idea of who we wanted to create, but for sure we involved them because for them stepping back into the role is kind of just as iconic for them as it was in many ways for me. So we wanted to involve them. It was cool. You know, a big change. We shot this original movie in Cleveland. The biggest thing, we shot this one in Bulgaria.
What?
That was kind of a big
shift. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I know, right? So that's kind of the economies of Hollywood nowadays and the availability of stage space and all that stuff. So the good thing was we were pretty isolated, so we had nothing to do but work. So when they came over on the weekends, it was like, let's go through the scenes, let's go through the scripts, let's make adjustments, let's rehearse. So we were able to spend a lot of time working and kind of getting some of their thoughts that they had on their characters. But that also afforded us the opportunity to, as I said, build the 11 houses. Like you probably saw in the movie The Radio. We couldn't source that thing. And the Bulgarians are tremendous craftsmen, so they just built it.
I swear to God, I thought you were on the same. I thought you were on the same. It looked. I could not tell. It looked. I would never have pegged it as Bulgarian
storage.
Yeah.
No, we showed him a picture, and I remember the guy's like, "We can build that."
Wow.
It's uncanny.
Like, almost the next day, it's done to scale and detail. The furniture, same thing. We had a hard time sourcing it. They found a piece of fabric like it. They built it. So that was amazing.
That's insane.
Because we wanted that level of detail, and Bob Clark, the director, really brought that in the first one. You know, with the Zeppelin and the toys, all this stuff, as you said, it's not our generation, but it just felt right. It felt cool.
Yeah.
And so we really, it was obviously important for us to recreate that in this one.
Well, I got to tell you, I watched it last night with my wife, and I loved it. The crazy thing is, and I just came to this realization during this interview, but A Christmas Story is probably the movie that I have seen the most in my life because I'm 47 years old and I've watched it every year since 1983.
Multiple times.
Yeah. But what's crazy is, there's a moment in that movie that makes me tear up every single time I see it. And it's really, really subtle, but it's when your character is putting the BBs in the gun and Darren McGavin is sitting there on the couch, you know, just kind of like miming, like, you know, how
don't spill them.
Yeah, don't spill it all. Yeah. And like, I don't know what it is, but like that wells me up every single time. And last night, my wife likes to make fun of me when she catches me crying during a movie. So I have to be very, very subtle. But there were a lot of like moments where I lost my father 8 years ago. And so there was a little bit of that with Darren, with your father in the movie.
For sure.
So maybe that had a little bit to do with it, but there were just other really touching moments. And what I really, really appreciated was that I was surprised. I thought I saw a couple of things coming during the plot and when it didn't turn out the way I thought, I was so pleasantly surprised and happy.
They avoided the obvious. Like with Scott Farkas. Yeah, there were things that you, and that's cool too. It makes it interesting watching.
But it was a touching movie and it definitely, you know, it brought a tear to my eye as somebody who was a son and who is now a father. It definitely hit all the right notes.
Well, thanks. Yeah, for sure. I say in many ways it's an homage to Darren McGavin. I think himself, the actor, to the old man, that character.
Yeah.
And really kind of the dads everywhere. And there was a pretty special relationship with Ralphie. You know, you talk about that scene with the BBs. Ralphie asked his mom, he asked Santa, he asked his teacher for the gun. The only person he didn't ask in that movie was his dad.
Yeah.
And that's the one who got it for him. So that's just sort of magical kind of connection. And so I think for Ralphie, there was a lot of pressure in this one to host Christmas, to fill those big shoes. And with that comes a little more emotion, a little more nostalgia, plus, he's older. He's a little more reflective. So there's definitely shades of emotion that are a little more in the movie, but there's also some pretty good comedy. And
as I said,
you know, given the kind of pressure going in, we're really, really happy with where things landed.
The fact that Randy, who's really the most awkward and shy, ends up being this sort of international businessman.
I know, it's kind of cool. But isn't that the truth? It's like sometimes the shyest, the ones that are smallest and meek, you realize is like, this dude's like a billionaire baller now. It's like, what? So, but it's kind of true. It's sort of, you never know. You kind of can't judge these kids at that age. So it was fun to think about maybe just twisting a little bit where the expectations might be of them, and certainly not reprising. And, you know, I don't want to give away anything where Scott's concerned, but it's certainly not, you know, the obvious would be, all right, they're going to fight again, but now they're grown-ups.
No.
You know.
No, you, got, like, you, you
it,
guys.
It doesn't really happen that way.
You guys did a great job and put it right in the pocket. And I think it'll be a perfect companion this year to A Christmas Story.
Well done.
It was
hallowed ground that you were messing with, so I'm happy that it came out the way it did. Thank you so much, Peter. Congratulations on the success of this, and we'll send people in the direction of HBO Max. Have a great Thanksgiving and Christmas, all right, Peter?
Thank you so much. He hung up already.
Oh, he's gone. All right, Peter Billingsley.
Hey, you're my favorite show, guys.
Wow, Peter's like that.
I've not seen it yet. I want to wait till the gang and I can sit down and watch it, because that became, you know, when they started doing the marathon, it became this kind of thing that's a companion now every single year without question. Like, we don't miss it. We will have to do one run through, at least one.
Complete intact, and then you can catch it multiple times. There's something that they bring up in the movie, Preston, in case you saw it last night. And I wondered if this is a thing that sparked a memory with you, Preston. So he has a Plymouth, I think. They're driving, the family's driving, and the radiator keeps leaking.
Yes.
And so he does a thing where they take a raw egg and put it into the radiator, and it helps slow the leak.
Really?
I never heard about that, but he says it was like a Midwestern quick fix. Had you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
No, I was not familiar with that.
Yeah, he cracks the egg and dumps it into the radiator.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do remember having to futz with the radiator before and having cars. I mean, you don't really see that anymore, cars that overheat. But I do remember being terrified at having to take that radiator cap off.
Oh, my God.
Hot. You were told. Because the word was it would explode all over you, right?
Your battery would explode when you use jumper cables, and your radiator would explode.
Right.
You were terrified of both those things. But, yeah, I'd never heard of that. But I guess because of the viscosity, I guess you'd call it, it might find its way to the opening and slow the leak.
And then the best part is you have a cooked egg to eat at the end.
Right, just suck it out the tailpipe.
I remember in Red Dawn, they peed in the radiator.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yes, you could. That would work. Any liquid ostensibly would work. Yeah.
But
hot piss.
Yeah. So this one is going to make its way into my regular rotation of Christmas movies.
Hot piss.
I'll tell you this. He was talking about the sequels were pretty terrible. I mean, Melinda Dillon is not in this one. It's Julie Haggerty who's playing the mom, and she does a fine job.
She does.
But to see those. You know, those faces. And I think the fact that they undersold it a bit makes it work better. It's hard to live in the shadow of A Christmas Story.
I never saw one, but there was one with Charles Grodin, right, where he played the old man.
Yeah.
And it was, I heard it was bad, so I never watched it.
Yeah, because Ralphie was played by Ron Jeremy.
That's
weird. And it was God. Bad casting.
Doesn't even have blue eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, I'm gonna give that one a shot eventually at some point between now and Christmas, obviously. But we got to get Thanksgiving underway first. So let us take a quick break. Come back in a second, and we'll share some bizarre file stories when we return on the Preston and Steve Show. Stay with us.
We are happy to pass along the results of Camp Out for Hunger. You raised over 2.8 million pounds of meat.
2.8 million?
A half million pounds more than last year. Money raised, going to Phil Abundance, $1,078,254.
That's astonishing.
And a reminder, you can still donate at your local Acme.
Yes.
Everyone stepped up in incredible fashion.
Absolutely.
Camp Out for Hunger would not be possible without the generosity of you and our partners.
Event Quip, Philly Photo and Film, Town Square Rentals, Pods Moving and Storage, Bowder Audio, and Newman University Videography.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
Powered in part by Beanbo Bakeries USA, Pepsi, Dunkin', and Stauffer.
93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
What say we do the Bizarre File?
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, starting with this story. And I like the excitement, Steve.
I like to amp it up a little bit.
A convicted felon was arrested after he allegedly shot his mother's boyfriend following a physical fight over a dispute about a salad.
Uh-huh.
Yes, this was in Antioch.
And he's in jail right now?
Let's see. I assume he is, yes.
I'm incarcerated, Lloyd.
Over a salad, Lloyd. It was a Waldorf.
Rondell K. Jameson was charged with aggravated battery with a firearm.
Where are the raisins?
To a car crash on Wednesday morning, and they found a woman driving the vehicle and the woman's boyfriend in the passenger seat. The man, who was bleeding, had been shot. The two told officers that they were driving to the medical center. The victim, who is in his mid-40s, told officers that Jameson had shot him at their residence. The hospital confirmed the victim had been shot in the elbow and left hip, with the bullet being lodged in his hip. Police had responded to the residence where the woman, her boyfriend, and the woman's son, Jameson, where they all lived together. Jameson exited the residence and was placed into custody. Officers cleared the apartment to ensure that no other victims were inside. They spotted a gun on the floor. Jameson admitted to the police that he and the victim got into a physical fight over a salad.
A kerfuffle.
The victim also confirmed that he and Jameson got into a fight over a salad. And
what
the
kind
fight
of salad?
Lasted. I think it was the Olivia Munn salad or the Olivia Wilde salad,
oh,
Steve.
Oh, yeah.
The fight lasted several minutes, and the victim fled from the residence without his shoes. The victim saw Jameson's mother pull up to the apartment complex and began telling the woman what happened. Jameson allegedly exited the residence and began walking toward the two while armed with a gun. That was it. He'd had enough.
That's it.
Enough of this salad crap.
I can't find one baby carrot in this thing.
Jameson's mother tried to stop her son as he approached the vehicle, but he pushed her away and shot the vehicle. Maybe he hated radishes.
That could be it. Yeah. That's all you Jameson need to light that match.
A convicted felon and does not have a firearm owner's identification card or a concealed carry license.
Is there a specific salad prison they send criminals like this?
I would think so. Yeah. At some place, there's a whole produce division.
A lot of salad tossing.
Oh, my God.
A man is being charged with operating under the influence after allegedly parking a truck in two parking spots that were designated for state police. Troopers returning from a from training to the state police Weston Barracks, by the way.
Law enforcement.
An F-150 truck parked across two spaces perpendicular to the lines designated for the cruiser parking around 3:30 a.m. Two men were found asleep in the truck with the keys inside when troopers woke them up. The driver allegedly tried to put the truck into gear multiple times after the failed attempt. The men opened up their doors, and the driver agreed to perform field sobriety tests and was charged with operating under the influence of liquor. But he happened to pull into the parking spots and park on them perpendicularly where the troopers were supposed to be. All right, this is, listen how stupid this is. Heather Wallace's oldest son, 8-year-old Aiden, was driving his two brothers crazy in the car as they all returned from karate one afternoon. Wallace asked Aiden to walk the rest of the way home. It was about a half a mile in a quiet suburban Waco, Texas neighborhood, so that he could calm down. And for this, she was arrested, handcuffed, and thrown in jail.
What?
She was charged with endangering a child, a felony, carrying a mandatory minimum of 2 years in prison.
What?
She said, it brought us into a deep trauma. She is finally able to speak out after completing a six-month pretrial diversion program to get the charges dropped. But her arrest remains on the books, easily searchable by employers, which is disastrous for someone with a bachelor's degree in education. So here's how it unfolded. Aiden, the kid, agreed to walk home. After all, it was something he had done many times. There are sidewalks the entire way and practically zero traffic. But 15 minutes later, two cops knocked on Wallace's door. Her son was in the patrol car, and another officer was parked across the street. A woman one block away from their house, had called the cops to report a boy walking outside alone. That lady had actually asked Aiden where he lived, verified that it was just down the street, and then proceeded to call the cops nonetheless. They picked up Aiden on his own block. As soon as they stood on her porch, the officers told Wallace that her son could have been kidnapped, napped, and sex trafficked. The police officer said, "You don't much see sex trafficking where you are, but where I patrol in downtown Waco, we do." And that statement struck her as odd. She said they were basically admitting that this is a safe neighborhood. The officer then asked Wallace whether she would let her son walk home again now that she knew about the sex trafficking. And she says, "I still didn't know that it was illegal, so I said, I don't know." And that's when the cop replied, "Okay, I'm going to have to arrest you now."
Oh,
and he proceeded
God.
To do so in front of the kids, handcuffing Wallace behind her back.
Is it in fact illegal?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All in all, it was about 3 hours from the time the cops showed up to the time that they drove Wallace to the McLennan County Jail, where she was locked up. The next day, her husband paid her $300 bail, and they ended up going home. But there was some sort of ordinance that is a technicality that they may have been playing on or something like that. But, I mean, it's a half mile. There's sidewalks. It's on their block.
Yeah.
And she got arrested for that and charged
as
well.
Yeah, and now it's affecting her future.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. All right, let's see. How about this story? A search and rescue operation involving a military helicopter took a strange twist on Sunday afternoon in British Columbia when a 35-year-old man was arrested for interfering in the rescue effort. Search and rescue says it received a call about a paraglider who had crashed onto Mount Paul. Well, according to police, Simon Hergett, who later said that in an email that he was at the location after being alerted to the situation by a friend, grew impatient after joining the search and rescue team members as they hiked up the mountain. Hergett became verbally abusive when the team didn't take the route he suggested. He's also a paragliding enthusiast, and he said that he hurried to Mount Paul and got there before the search and rescue team. And he said he ran up the mountain, and from the summit, he found the location of the crash victim. Hergett said that he was able to communicate with the victim, whom he identified as a young Swiss man named Quentin. Hergett said that he headed back down the mountain in hope to help that help was on the way. Halfway down, he met the search and rescue team. He said that he told the search and rescue members that he had located the downed paraglider and tried to direct them to the safe possible route, which wouldn't endanger him of rockfall. Hergett said the team was moving slowly, and I impressed upon them how serious it was, and they needed to move fast because the paraglider wouldn't be staying warm for long as his pain was increasing. Eventually returned to the base of the mountain where the Royal Canadian Mounted Police took him into custody because they had called in a police helicopter, and he was saying, "No, you need to go do this right now." So they got him for interfering with the rescue.
All right.
For whatever reason.
That's another goofy one.
I know. It is another goofy one. So, do we have time for one more, Casey?
No, we do not.
And that is all we have in the bizarre file for you today, dear friend. So, all right. You know what? Let's do some more Christmas miracle giveaway passes. We'll take three callers right now. First three callers, 215-263-WMMR. The event is coming up on the 21st of December. We will be at Parks Casino in Bensalem in the Excite Center. And we would like you to be there. The caveat is you need to be at least 21 years of age. You have to be there by 6 a.m. And you have to be a big fan of this particular radio program, The Preston and Steve Show, because the game we will play that morning has to do with trivia about our show. It's a way to say thank you for loyal listeners and great prizes to be given away, and we'll have a great time. But if you get called to be in the contest, we want to make sure that you know a thing or two. So we'll take those three callers at 215-263-WMMR. It's a Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. Make sure you dress appropriately, and we will see you there. We're going to take a break. Come back in just a second. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Don't forget, our Word of the Week prize this week is a short one. Obviously, a three-day work week this week. We will give that away tomorrow on the program, $250 gift certificate from our friends at Squeezed.com. So we'll get ready for that at the end of the show, getting the letter of the day. In the meantime, something else to give away. We got to do a lesson question. We are giving away a four-pack of tickets to experience the magic of the season at the Tinseltown Holiday Spectacular. Yeah. And that's at the Expo Center at Oaks. Nick, I'm going to have to ask you to pose a question to our listeners this morning, please.
All right. Later in his career, Gary Oldman will be endorsing which kinds of products? As his career winds down, Gary Oldman's going to be endorsing which kind of products? 215-263.
The name brand product or?
Well, either or.
All right.
We'll take 215.
One or the other, yeah. 263 WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. And while you call, we will do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. And the trash this morning is brought to you by Horizon Services. Purchase a new heater from Horizon Services Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing and get up to $1,700 back with zero down and zero payments until 2024. Book fast at horizoneasybook.com. And then, Preston, you can take it from there.
Hey, Steve, what's up this morning?
Hey, Preston and Casey. Well, more information coming out about why Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde ended their relationship. Apparently, Wilde had begun talking marriage recently, while Styles had begun holding his hands over his ears, yelling, "I can't hear you."
Hey!
Lifetime upping the ante against the Hallmark Channel by including lovable dogs in their Christmas romance movies. First movie up for the holiday season will be My Christmas Bitch.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Meghan Markle's guest on her most recent podcast, Jamila Jamil, says she can't believe the amount of crap Markle has to put up with simply for being herself. Markle responded by admitting that she really wasn't listening. And that's your Hollywood show.
All right, thank you, Steve. So we need to know from the listeners if you have an answer to this question. Gary Oldman is retiring, and when he retires, he is going into endorsing which products? 215-263-WMMR. Casey, pull me out a winner there, Bobby.
Wow, that's so funny. Our listener's name is Bobby.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes.
All right, let me go. Hey, Bobby, good morning.
What's up, brother?
All right, buddy. All right, so Gary Oldman, in his retirement, will be endorsing what?
The Little Blue Pill.
No.
That's wrong.
That is incorrect.
Oh, yes. Can't guess.
Had to have been listening in order to know the answer to that. So let's go to another caller. And is it Cindy that we're going to go to?
No, Casey? It's Tom. Close. Okay.
No, thank you. Well, who is it?
Tom.
Oh, Tom. Okay. Hey, Tom. All right. So Gary Oldman retiring, and what is he going to be endorsing?
Hold on 1 second.
You got to hang on, Press. He's busy right now.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah,
so.
Go to the bathroom.
All right.
Oh, my
Tom,
God.
Are you done now?
Tom?
Yes, Tom. Right.
What's the answer?
Yeah, Tom. So what did he say?
Gorilla glue or tape?
Gorilla glue.
Yes, Gorilla glue. That is correct.
It's just that easy.
He had to check his notes.
Yes.
He had it written down from earlier today, and he needed to do the peek at that. So that means we got a winner, and we are going to set him up with a four-pack of tickets to experience the magic of the season at the Tinseltown Holiday Spectacular. You can explore the larger-than-life illuminated sculptures at the Expo Center at Oaks, and tickets are on sale now at TinseltownHoliday.com. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Hey, real quick, Preston, before we get into the sponsor, Kathy, is there a special Kathy code for that Tinseltown?
Yeah, you know what? If you use Kathy 20, you'll get a discount on that Tinseltown. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Kathy 20.
Yes.
Tinseltown.
Kathy 20, not T-W-E-N-T-Y.
Right. Like, just think my age. Kathy 20.
Right. Okay. Yes, that'll make it easy to remember.
30 years ago.
Yeah. All right. And music news is brought to you by Family Jewelers and Family and Company Jewelers. fill her stocking with a gift she'll be showing off all year long. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or online at familyjewelers.com. They spell root R-O-O-T, by the way. That's what
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So online at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's holiday diamond destination.
I think it's so it's pronounced correctly. I think that's why they do that from time
not
to time.
Because it's a tree.
So Måneskin, the band, has opened up about their upcoming album, which is titled Rush. The band reflected on the past year with Victoria and the band saying, it's been amazing. It's been a crazy year. We've done so many crazy things. The most important thing is, of course, the music. Now we're getting closer and closer to releasing the record, and that's the most important thing. We can't wait to finally share it. When asked why they chose to name their band or their album Rush, Victoria said it was made in a rush, and this whole year has been a rush. We had like 5 hours to decide the title. And we thought that this is literally on point, so accurate.
So it's not a tribute to the band Rush?
It's not, unfortunately, a tribute to the Canadian power trio Rush. She said, it's like what's happening right now. I think it's the best word to sum up the last year or 2 years of our lives. We always make such a huge amount of decision in a short amount of time. So we kind of live in a rush. We wake up in a rush. We eat in a rush. We wash in a rush. So I think it's the right word to sum up our life. So that's why they named it.
So why did they call it Rush?
Willow Smith joined Smashing Pumpkins on stage during the finale of their Spirits on Fire tour on Saturday night.
I didn't know they knew each other.
No, I didn't either. Smith, who performs as Willow, joined the band for their 1993 hit Cherub Rock at the Hollywood Bowl. The 22-year-old rocker showcased her guitar playing skills while Billy Corgan handled the lyrics. I didn't even know she played guitar.
Yeah.
So apparently they're friends. And then I have just one more story, and that's it. The reunited Jane's Addiction welcomed ousted Red Hot Chili Peppers guitarist John Klinghoffer on stage for a small set of their classics. Klinghoffer, who has jumped on stage with the band previously and as recently as last month, was on hand this past November 12th during the band's joint gig with Smashing Pumpkins at Seattle's Climate Pledge Arena. AlthoGuitar.com posted that Klinghoffer, who now serves as a touring member of both Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder's solo outfit, The Earthlings, performed on Ocean Size, 3 Days, and Mountain Song. So a little jump-up jam session took place there. And that's all I really have. I didn't have much in the way of music news today, but I'm passing that info along to you.
We have some instruments behind you. Do you want to unveil your rock opera that you've been working on?
No, I could reveal the rock opera. It's a story of a young man who woke up one morning and he found out that his tennis shoes or his sneakers had turned into potatoes.
Oh, okay.
So I'm working on that, but I'm just in the beginning stages right now. Yeah, tater toes. Anyway, so that's it in music news, and we will take a break. And when we return, Letter Day, Word of the Week prize, turn it over to Pierre and all that good stuff. So stay there. We'll be back in a moment.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com. It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Tuesday morning, Preston and Steve radio show. Day one of yours truly at the household. Tested positive for COVID yesterday, so home. Feel fine. Rochelle has it as well. Not feeling as great, but nonetheless, tis what tis as we're heading into the holidays. But we'll do this thing again tomorrow. But it worked out all right. We didn't have any big problems or anything like that. Went pretty well.
The flu is the thing that kicked your ass.
Yeah, that was bad. That was gnarly. So we had a couple of guests on the program. I would like to thank Mr. Connor Barwin.
Yay!
Connor's great, and his Make-A-Wish, or not Make-A-Wish Foundation, his Make the World Better Foundation.
Yeah.
It's funds for this event that's coming on the 26th. It is a performance, a tribute, a Philadelphia tribute to The Last Waltz. A lot of great performers on board. Nick had mentioned earlier David Wissikinen, Adam Wiener of Locacani, Don McCluskey, who we love to death, and an entire band set up to celebrate that music and to benefit the Make the World Better Foundation. You can get tickets at AXS.com. And it was great to have Peter Billingsley on.
Yeah.
Of course, plays Ralphie in A Christmas Story Christmas. He's the original Ralphie from A Christmas Story. And wonderful conversation with him. And I know Stephen Casey give it the approval. So I'm going to watch that as we get a little bit closer when I get the whole family sit down and check it out together. It'd be cool to catch up with those characters again. And we're going to say hi to somebody, but real quick, we need... Well, you know what? Yeah, let's go ahead and do that now. One of our interns is leaving us, and we are saying goodbye. So we want to give some love to Emily and welcome her to the studio here for the last time.
Sad.
I'm bummed out that I'm not there in person to say goodbye to you, Emily.
I know. I'm so sad.
Yeah. We have a great group of interns. We haven't had like a full group for a while because obviously COVID and all the things that were, with that and limited numbers of staff members, we didn't have an internship program that was in person. They were all working at home, and some people we never actually got to meet, which
sucks.
But,
yeah.
But this group that we have now, they're great.
Stellar.
It's so cool to have students back. And speaking of that, Emily, where do you go to school?
I go to Westchester, and I'll be graduating a year early in May.
Wow.
A year early?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
How did that happen?
I just took extra classes, and some classes from high school transferred over.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Okay. Oh, you're a smarty pants.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
I would not say all that.
So they probably refer to you as the new Kathy Romano over there, right?
I did not. No, I went 4.5 years.
Ah, Kathy did it the other way.
I enjoyed my time there very much. I did not want to leave. We contemplated going another semester. We were like, are there any other classes maybe we could just like throw in and stay for another semester?
Sure, yeah.
Emily, do you go to Jake's? Is that a place for you to hit?
So I commute, so I'm not really up there that much.
Okay. Okay. Are you even 21 yet?
No.
Wow, not even 21. She's finishing early.
What?
She's got all the drive that you left to Jake's.
She totally could have used my Dawn Durr ID because it looks like her.
Oh, there you go.
Dawn Durr, that was the name?
Yeah, we talked about this. Yes, Dawn Durr. It was a real ID. Girl lost it. Durr. My boyfriend at the time picked it up, handed it to me. He was like, this, you can totally pass for this. And I used it for a really long time before I got it taken away.
You were Dawn Durr.
I was Dawn Durr until the bouncer at the Rat took it from me.
Oh, man.
Ding, dirty, darn.
Ding, dirty, darn.
That could be a Christmas miracle question.
Yes.
Right there. Dawn Durr. Emily, by the way, so what's your major? What do you want to do career-wise if you have a choice soon?
So I am in communications, maybe production. I'm interested in that.
Did you enjoy the exposure to it here with the working on the show and everything?
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was a great experience. You guys are amazing.
Well, thank you. And we have such a warm, comfortable green room for you to sit in, too.
It's so goddamn cold.
She's colder than me.
She's like freezing all the time.
All the time.
I met her mom and dad at the food trucks and fireworks event, and they were really cool. They seemed to be very proud of you.
Thank you.
I can't believe you graduated in 3 years. Like, who told you to do that?
Now you have to be a big girl.
I mean, honestly, like, if I could do it all over again, I would do what Nick did.
Yeah, the 7-year plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at me now.
Yes. Yeah. Without question.
That's pretty wild. Absolutely. God.
All right, Emily, anything you want to leave with as we send you off into the wild?
Nope, just thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Emily. Good luck.
Good luck to you. Let's hear for Emily, guys. Great group of people, man.
Absolutely. And I think everyone came in to wish her a farewell today, all the other interns.
Yeah.
Even people not working today.
Yeah. Eric is here.
Marissa was saying it's a tight group.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Good for them. I love it.
Here's the deal. Did I ever call you Nicole to your face, by the way, Emily? I did.
She said yes.
Oh, my God.
I know your name's Emily. You just maybe look like a Nicole or something. I don't know.
All right, so my bad, Press. I was calling her Nicole. I pulled a U.
No, and oddly enough, I knew her name. I corrected you.
What the hell's going on here?
Something's happening here.
I actually think this semester, Preston knows all of the interns' names.
I do.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Very dynamic.
Yep, I know Emily and Gina and, oh, God damn it.
Oh, come
you got,
on.
No, you got it.
It was
come on.
Great.
Annie.
Yeah.
And the dude.
Dude. Eric.
It's Eric, right?
Sancho.
Yeah. Yes.
And don't forget Sasha. You forgot all about Sasha?
Shut up.
For a second.
No.
That is really
this
good
time,
for you, though.
That's very
that's
good
excellent.
For me.
Excellent. Very good. That shows you how memorable they are and how hard they are. And the work they put in and the camp out, they really helped a great deal. And they continue to.
Yep. Let's see. We need, Tattoos Day. We got to get a winner for that. So let's announce our winner. I do not have that info, but Casey does.
I do. And our winner is Marijo Senek. And Marijo is from Deptford. And they have won. I don't know. Marijo. Is that a guy, do you think?
Quite possibly.
Marijo. Okay.
Mary Jo. Marijo. Pujo.
What if it's Mary Jo?
What if it's Mauricio?
How does it spell?
M-A-R-I-J-O.
Yeah, that's Mary Jo.
Could be Mary Jo.
No,
it's Mary Jo. Is it Mary Jo?
Mary Jo.
Yes. Okay. No.
Mauricio.
So, Mauricio.
Hang on. In my defense, the J is lowercase.
Dude, listen, it's Connor's handwriting. I see it all the time.
Mauricio.
I'm backing you up on that, brother.
Mauricio. Mauricio, come and see that. I got some vino for you.
Well, Mary Jo, you won a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. Tattoos Day on the Preston and Steve Show, presented by Floating World Tattoo and Piercing, 1729 South Street in Philadelphia.
Was that the Bronx Tale? Wasn't he Colgerone or something like that was his name? Yeah, Mauricio Colgerone.
Yeah. You'll see.
All right, did I see Pierre Robert sauntering into the studio?
Oh, yes. I was here yesterday, but Casey told me not to come in because you had the COVID.
It was wise.
The bid.
Yes, he was here on time and ready to go, but now we're safe today, so you're good to go.
I'm not worried. I wasn't worried yesterday. I had my fourth vaccine. But are you feeling okay, Mr. P?
Yeah, I feel fine. Rochelle is kind of getting the hit with chest congestion and really nasty cough. But I think it's coming and going pretty quick. Although I found out, so Dr. Mike has given me some medication so that I wouldn't end up with the long COVID, which can definitely happen. But have you ever taken a medication that gives you a metallic taste in your mouth before?
Yeah.
And I took it, you know, hours ago, and then like an hour or so ago, I'm like, why do I have this? Tastes like I'm sucking on pennies or something like that.
Right. It's you'll be singing Slayer song soon.
I will?
Yeah, metallic.
Heavy metal. Metallic.
Yeah, man.
I got it. Okay. Yes. But anyhow, I feel fine. This is kind of like it's a day off of school. I mean, I got to... We did work, but I got to walk down the stairs and not have to drive. And I'm wearing pajama pants.
Wow. I love that.
It's a beautiful thing. So,
beautiful thing.
All in all, hasn't been bad at all. So we should do the letter of the day. Let's get to it.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
A as in astonishing.
Excellent. We have one more letter to go, as it is a very short work week this week. So we'll give away the prize tomorrow, which is a $250 gift code to Squeezed.com, the best juice cleanse on the market. Feel great, lose weight, look better. 20% off site-wide this week, by the way. Use the code Black Friday, and you can receive two vegan meals. That is Squeezed.com. So like I said, we'll give that away tomorrow. What do you have planned for today, sir?
Lots of stuff, actually. First of all, Alicia Vitarelli is going to be coming in.
Oh, nice.
Around 11:30 to talk about the 6ABC Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is a long-standing tradition. Now in its 103rd year.
Mm.
I think it's the oldest in the country, if not closest to it. She's so fun and so in tune with so many things that are happening in the city. So she'll be joining us. We have some fine workforce blocks, including Weezer and Pearl Jam, in excess. Tickets for that final Hooters show for next May, which went on sale last Friday. And a little plug for Thursday's Thanksgiving program, which we will do. Pancake and I will be here on Thanksgiving. Alice's Restaurant at 10 a.m., 12 noon, and 2 p.m., and many other things.
How many versions of Alice's this year?
Well, two versions. The standard version, which will play off of a CD at 10. Then at noon, I have the 25th anniversary version, which is even longer, which is great.
That's my dad's favorite one because of the Nixon reference.
There's this terrific. Great Nixon reference in which he claims Arlo claims that the missing 18 minutes of the Watergate tape was actually Alice's restaurant. The way he constructs it is absolutely brilliant. And it's very funny. And then on vinyl, the original version at 2 p.m. And again, much more.
This
over the
course of the incredible day. Tradition yeah. that people just look forward to.
Yeah,
gotta
have it. I think it may be the only day some people, many people, in fact, listen to my show. I've told you guys this before, but, you know, I'll be in Iowa. Dude, it'll be July. Dude, your Thanksgiving show is amazing. And I'll go, dude, I'm on tomorrow. Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, your Thanksgiving show, dude, you know. But I've got a block of AC/DC coming up tomorrow. Yeah, it's fine. But hey, the Thanksgiving show, man.
It's not a backwards compliment, though. It's terrific radio, and I'll be down in Southern Virginia, but I love tuning in on the app. It is a great program, so I'm looking forward to listening to it again this year.
Pierre, that promo that you have, the Welcome Home promo, does that run now, or is that at Christmas?
I run it. I run it at any appropriate time during the year.
I love it.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah,
really
I actually
cool.
get a little. I get a little teary eyed, and it's. It's special. It's a short thing, and it's Pierre doing this. This wonderful message with some great clips of music behind it. I love hearing that.
Thank you so much. I had that idea a while ago, and I mean, because we. Prior to us being on the app and being able to be listened to all around the country at any given time, a lot of people would report that they really felt home when, particularly driving, they would get in reach of the frequency and it would be staticky at first, and then all of a sudden it comes in clear. And even if they're in Allentown or, 100 miles away, if they're picking it up, now we're home. We're hearing MMR. Yeah. But, you're home wherever you're tuning into us, but we welcome you home. And lots of people are either getting ready to leave to go somewhere or to come here. So nice to have you.
Excellent. Case, you're going to have to thank our sponsors for the day for me, please.
Yes. Today's show has been brought to you by Family Company Jewelers. Fill her stocking with a gift she'll show off for all year long. From South Jersey's holiday diamond destination, Marijo.
That was great.
It's also brought to you by Dunkin'. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin' and Acme Markets. Fresh foods, local flavors.
All right. On tomorrow's program, we wrap out the broadcast week. We'll go live on Fox Good Day. It's a Wednesday, so we'll usually have a secret text for a prize. And I would love to make this a tradition.
Yeah.
But he would have to be in town every time. But Big J Okerson is going to come.
Yeah.
Yes. Tomorrow. That'd be a great day before Thanksgiving tradition to start this year because we love spending time with Big J. So he'll be joining us, and we'll wrap up the week and get you ready for Thanksgiving. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have yourself a great day, and we will see you tomorrow, friend.
Preston and Steve. On 93.3 New MMR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.